Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's Tara. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Listening to AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. President Bush does not look at the Baker-Hamilton report as a new blueprint for his strategy.
The thing I liked about the Baker-Hamilton report is it discussed the way forward in Iraq. And I believe we need a new approach.
British Prime Minister Tony Blair from tonight's CBS Evening News with Katie Couric.
There's no doubt about it at all. We're facing a very, very difficult situation, very challenging situation. But as they say, it's a situation that we cannot afford not to win.
Study group co-chairman Lee Hamilton says it is critical to get Iraqi forces well-trained.
We recommend, for example, that you do a lot better training of Iraqi forces.
And faster, he says, such that control can be turned over to Iraq more quickly. General Carter Ham, commander of the 1st Infantry, says let's slow down a little bit. The proposal to sharply accelerate training of Iraqi forces to get the numbers up is not so smart. He says training is one thing. Experience is the key, and that only comes with time. He says putting units in harm's way before they're ready would have consequences far beyond the demoralization of Iraqi forces who fail and die trying because they're too green. This was at Pearl Harbor today. A 21-gun salute for those who died 65 years ago today at Pearl when the Japanese Air Force invited the United States into the war in the Pacific. All NASA is hoping the weather will cooperate for just a little while for tonight's Flight of Discovery. Live now, CBS's Peter King.
Well, the weather is still iffy here at the Cape and at three overseas emergency landing sites, but forecasters say they're slightly optimistic. NASA calls this flight to the International Space Station the most complicated ever, with spacewalkers making scores of wiring and plumbing connections, and Houston sending thousands of computer commands to make it all work. NASA head Michael Griffin tells CBS News he thinks it'll go well, but
I'm more optimistic that if we encounter a problem, guys are going to find a way to work around it.
Now, that first step is the longest. We're all waiting to see if the weather clears in about 3.5 hours, Harley.
Recreating the heroic attempt to get help for his family to better understand the death of James Kim in the rugged southwest Oregon mountains.
When found by searchers, Mr. Kim was fully clothed in a heavy dark colored jacket, gray sweater covering a t-shirt, blue jeans, and tennis shoes. He was in possession of a backpack that contained miscellaneous items, including identification.
Oregon State Police Lieutenant Greg Hastings, CBS's John Blackstone.
He believed that he was trying to make his way toward a river that led to a town that he and his wife saw on a map. They studied the map, thought that the town was about 4 miles from where they were. In reality, the town was about 15 miles from where they were.
And Kim walked in desperate circles until finally the exposure and the cold killed him. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 30 points today, the Nasdaq off 18. Oil prices, $62.49 a barrel, up 30 cents. This is CBS News.
Today's guest stylist is Laura. She's showing us the latest ways to spruce up for the holidays at Kohl's Incredible Christmas Sale. Laura?
The season calls for touches of silver and gold, so anything that shines is catching my eye. Look at these silver plates. They really say holiday magic.
Wow.
Then it's straight over to metallic tops to dress up any outfit.
Incredible savings await you at Kohl's Incredible Christmas Sale this Friday and Saturday. Find lowest prices of the season on Friday Night Owl and Saturday Early Bird Specials. Kohl's. Expect great things.
Sunday on Showtime. The question isn't where were you during the last terrorist attack? It's where will you be for the next one?
You have to find out where the nukes are coming from and intercept them.
Showtime presents Sleeper Cell, American Terror, an all-new television event.
We must strike first.
The show the New York Times called Better Than 24 is back.
Your world is never going to be safe again.
Sleeper Cell, American Terror, premieres Sunday at 9, 8 central on Showtime. To subscribe, call 1-800-SHOWTIME or go to sho.com.
Where do the most poor live? It's something of a surprise.
Suburbs are growing faster. They're more diverse. Immigrants are often going there to live instead of a big city where work may be tougher to find.
I think suburbs are going to face, you know, new challenges.
Alan Berube co-authored a report for the Brookings Institution finding suburban poor outnumbering inner city poor for the first time last year.
Poverty is sort of a new reality for them.
And he says suburbs where the poverty rate is high, like McAllen, Texas, and Lakeland, Florida, have to increase services to help. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
A German cyclist was so afraid of his wife, he lied to the police. First, he was drunk, rode his bike into a lamppost and hurt himself, but couldn't go home and tell the wife the truth, so he called the cops and told them he'd been set upon by no fewer than six young punks, two of whom he gave a good whipping, and sent the other four packing in great fearful flight through the bushes. Cops looked behind the bushes, found a tall fence. The man fessed up to his alibi. Now the wife's really upset. Harley Carnes, see
party. New rule. Jewish people have to start. The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to. Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth. AM 1320.
I'm drunk again, I swear this present is just a curse. I got here, by killing off all my friends, I think I figured out my life begins when fun ends. I got my wings, I'm pretty cool as that.
3:05, 5 minutes after 3 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. And I want to just give you a heads up. We're going to be joined in the 4 o'clock hour by Bonnie Wolf, and we'll be talking about food, her new book, Talking With My Mouth Full, Crab Cakes, Wund Cakes, and Other Kitchen Stories. She's a commentator on radio, and she's a commentator on food issues, and it's always fun to listen to her. So that's happening in the 4 o'clock hour today. If you want to join the conversation, we'd love to have you do it. We invite you to participate for the education and the just the benefit of all of us. The more voices, the better. If you're in the 916 area code, the number is 349-1320. And if you're not, the number is 866-626-1320. It's always toll-free. You can email me, enid@kctc.com. And remember, we stream live 1320 left channel. I want to begin with a couple of things. First of all, this is December 7th. Do you remember the significance of December 7th? It's a day that was going to live in infamy. It was the day that Pearl Harbor happened about 65 years ago. The survivors of Pearl Harbor, there are now fewer survivors to remember the day that we were never going to forget. And I think probably it doesn't, for people who have come along in the last several decades, it probably doesn't have the same meaning, but today is December the 7th, and we honor the memory. December the 7th is when we officially got into World War II. I want to talk about a couple of things that I didn't have a chance to finish with yesterday. We were talking about healthy cities, and number one in terms of healthy cities is, or healthy states, is Minnesota. And where is California in that list? California is number 23 in the list of healthy states. Colorado, which I always thought was pretty healthy, and which always ranks pretty high on states that are fit, is number 16. You're thinner if you live in Colorado. And Colorado ranks number 16th in terms of healthiness. California is number 23. Massachusetts is number 7. North Dakota is number 8. New Hampshire is number 3. And those eastern seaboard states, they're all pretty, although I'm surprised Hawaii ranks number 4. I'm not quite sure why that would be, because a lot of people are overweight in Hawaii. But that's just a partial ranking. So for those of you who wanted to know where California was on the list, California is number 23 on that list. I want to start with a media story today. Because I'm, as you know, I'm a big connoisseur of newspapers. I have to read a lot of them to do Enid Live and to do it well. And I like reading paper newspapers, even though I think I'm in a dwindling minority. I'm going to ask the question again. Is there anybody under 35 who's reading a newspaper every day? You might see one once in a while. But are you a real newspaper reader or are you an online newspaper reader? That's a different thing. And even if you're an online newspaper reader, are you reading the newspaper every day? There was a story today in the Bee that the revenues, McClatchy revenues are down. I don't know, 4 or 5%, something like that. It's not good. And I think the circulation is down a bit as well. So revenues are down. In some newspapers, circulation, or the revenue's coming up a little bit, but circulation is flat or down. Circulation in most newspapers going down. So helping that little project out is the prison guards. The California Correctional Peace Officers Association, CCPOA, has launched a statewide action against the Sacramento Bee and other McClatchy papers. They're calling it a BCOT. Why do they call it a B? Because it's not an A. They're calling it a BCOT as they over recent editorials and the newspaper's use of the term prison guards instead of the term correctional officer. So let me give you that again. The California Correctional Peace Officers Association, the CCPOA, very powerful union, has launched a statewide action against the Sacramento Bee and other McClatchy papers. They're calling it a BCOT over recent editorials and the newspaper's use of the term prison guards instead of correctional officer. The blog that is being maintained by the CCPOA, one of the members wrote on the blog, when the Sacramento Bee's editorial board published a mean-spirited personal attack upon CCPOA members, asserting that we are, quote, whiners who don't do a very dangerous job at all. Well, those are fighting words. That appears to refer to a November 18 editorial headline, The Cloak of Victimhood, which said the 30,000-member CCPOA Prison Guards Union was, quote, using its formidable political war chest to run ominous TV ads to put pressure on Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger to do a repeat of the giveaway 2001 to 2006 prison guard contract. And here's what the Bee had to say about that. The CCPOA portrays the guards' work life as one of unending suffering and victimization. The reality is that a California prison guard can go to work every day for 20 years and never break up a fight and never get assaulted. What makes a job so stressful and dangerous is uncertainty, the prospect that routine boredom could be broken at any time by violence. It concluded, the union needs to get out of its current I am a victim, hear me whine mode. One of the members said guards are planning to picket in front of the Bee offices on December the 22nd. And it's not going to stop there. The CCPOA wants to pressure McClatchy advertisers as well. So they want to pressure the newspaper and they want to pressure the advertisers. And I'm not exactly clear why they want to do that. So if any CCPOA, if any prison guard are listening or any CCPOA members are listening, we want to hear from you. Is it that you object to being called prison guards when you would prefer to be called correctional peace officers? Is it that you hated that the Bee said that your work is not one of unending suffering, but that you can go to work, you can expect to go to work every day for 20 years and never break up a fight and never get assaulted, but what makes the job stressful is and dangerous is the uncertainty? In other words, violence could break out at any moment. The union needs to get out of its current I am a victim, hear me whine mode, said the Sacramento Bee in its editorial. So the prison guards union members, the CCPOA members, are going to picket in front of the Bee's offices on December the 22nd. And in addition, it wants to pressure McClatchy advertisers as well. Is it going to be successful in pressuring McClatchy advertisers? Do you think they're going to be upset about this in any way, shape, or form? The Bee's editorial pages have become livelier and more pugnacious under the direction of David Hallwork, the former managing editor at the Lexington Herald Leader in Kentucky. He's not backing down. The LA Times called him up to find out what his position was. He says, no, he's not backing down. He said, we stand by our editorials, and our editorials speak for themselves. So, what are your thoughts about this? 349-1320, 866-620-1320. Now, some of these members, CCPOA members, are making six figures, aren't they? Aren't they making a lot of money to do what they're doing? And let me further add this to the conversation. And that is, how much are we paying our school teachers? Do CCPOA members deserve to be paid substantially more than school teachers? Is the threat of violence greater? I mean, you've got a lot of high schools and a lot of schools these days, you've got metal detectors. You've got kids who threaten to assault teachers and who actually make good on those threats. So are teachers in any less danger than prison guards, really? I mean, it turns out that there's not a lot of, according to the B, that you can expect to go to work if you're a prison guard for the next 20 years and never break up a fight and never get assaulted. But what makes the job stressful is that you could get assaulted. Well, we could all get assaulted. You know, you get into your car and you drive to a nice little beach in Oregon and guess what? They never find you. Or when they find you, you're dead. That is an extremely tragic story about James Kim. That is a very tragic story about the Kim family. So you can get in your car, you know, and here's the other thing. In the issue of danger and so on, what you've got is the idea that if we're in control, we feel like there's less danger. They've done studies about this. So you would rather sometimes drive somewhere than take an airplane because if you're driving, you feel like you have more control and therefore you could arrive safely. But here's the real story. There are actually way more traffic fatalities than there are airline fatalities. And you might not, you have the illusion of control, which is what mitigates fear. But the reality is that it is safer, apparently, from the statistics, to fly in an airplane than it is to drive a car to your destination. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So, why are the prison guards upset about the Bee's editorial? Why are they picketing the Bee? I'm not quite clear on it. And why do they want to go after what few advertisers are left to the Bee? Well, the Bee has a lot of advertising. It's fat with advertising. Its revenues are a bit down, but they do seem to have a lot of advertisers. Frank in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Frank.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm a retired correctional officer. I'm also an attorney that represents a lot of correctional officers. I suspect that they're offended by the use of the term prison guard initially. That all by itself isn't what's causing the problems.
Why is that an offensive term?
Oh, just like some police officers don't like being called cops. You know, I think that the...
So you mean they're picketing the Bee because the Bee refer to them as prison guards?
No, that's not what I said. I think that is an initial problem, but I don't believe that is the reason they are picketing. The editorial comments that you read are very offensive, and it's obviously written by somebody who has never worked in a prison, probably never been inside of a prison, and has no idea what they're talking about. Because in the 10 years that I worked with the department, I don't know anybody who didn't have to deal with inmate altercations on occasion.
All right, now, Frank, you're an attorney and you're a former correctional peace officer or prison guard. So tell me, what specifically in this editorial is offensive to CCPOA members?
Well, when they talk about how the threat of violence can break up the period of boredom, and that is the problem, that is inaccurate. And it's denigrating.
All right, what is inaccurate? What is inaccurate about it, and why is it denigrating? First of all, what is inaccurate? Tell us what the reality is when you're working in prison.
Well, for one thing, the threat of violence doesn't break up the period of boredom. It depends upon where you're working, what prison you're working, what job post you're working. There are certainly job posts which can be boring. But to characterize that the problem is the threat of violence breaks up the period of boredom is... It's false.
Well, that isn't exactly the quote. Now, the quote here is that they're saying, and let's go allegation by allegation. The reality is, they're saying, that a California prison guard can go to work every day for 20 years and never break up a fight and never get assaulted. Is that true?
Theoretically?
Yeah.
1 out of 1,000, that might be true. But it's that small of a percentage.
Well, they're saying...
I'm telling you, I don't know anybody that I worked with who did not break up a fight in the 10 years that I worked with, not 20 years. The only people that wouldn't break up a fight physically are people that are in guard towers, are in the gun towers or on a gun post, but then they might use their weapon.
All right, so they're saying, so the B is saying, so you're taking exception to what the B has said. And what would be a more correct, what would be a more correct portrayal?
I'm not prepared to give you that kind of a statement off the cuff.
Well, wait a minute. You're an attorney, and they're going to not only pick at the B, but they're going to try to pick at the advertisers of the B, and there's no alternative directive, no alternative information that comes out of this very powerful union that says, okay, here's what the B said, but here's what we say the reality is. How is it that that's not the case here? Because I don't see anything from the other side. Only that they give the impression that if you don't take their party line and they're not offering an alternative, then they're just gonna pick at you and pick at the advertisers. There's something almost thuggish about it. Is that a fair assessment?
For one thing, there's an average of about 9 assaults a day. Now those 9 assaults are not all serious by any means. But there's a significant number of assaults on a yearly basis. Now, that it works out to something like 3,000 a year.
And how many, you've got to factor in how many people work as prison guards or correctional peace officers, and then I suppose you do some statistical. All right, and then what they're saying, the quote is a little bit different from what you've said, because they're saying what makes a job so stressful and dangerous is uncertainty. Is that correct or not correct?
There is a degree of merit in that statement, because in point of fact, once you walk through the security area, if you're not on your guard at all times, you can be hurt more than necessary. And in fact, a lot of times people are hurt because they let their guard down. That's the reality. And
what they're saying is the prospect that routine boredom, that's no knock on you, everybody is subject to routine boredom, could be broken at any time by violence. And so... Why are you upset about that phrase?
I worked there for 10 years and I never suffered from routine boredom. But then I'm not a person who gets bored easily.
Well,
not doing anything.
Yeah, but I think there's a certain, part of the human condition, an equation of the human condition that has with it a certain routine boredom. Don't you think?
It's a misstatement.
So you want to pick at them over saying something like that?
I didn't say I was going to pick it.
Well, but the union is apparently going to pick it.
Then I suspect that you may get a call from somebody from the union regarding that, but you put it out for everybody to call. I just happen to be listening on my way to a doctor's deposit.
Well, but I still am not getting why the union feels that it's been so dissed by the B, to the point where it feels like it's got to pick it and it's got to go after the advertisers. It strikes me as extreme. Why don't they try to have a sit down with the editorial board, or write a letter to the editor, or get a story done on a day in the life of? Why don't they do that? It seems to me that would accomplish more of what they want than to go and pick it. I think they're not going to look good picketing.
I can't answer for the CCPOA. I don't represent CCPOA.
Okay.
I represent a couple hundred officers up and down the state. I represent myself. I can tell you how I find the article offensive, but I can't answer for the CCPOA as to why they feel that picketing is the most appropriate form of action. But it could be because what you said, that the LA Times called the author of the editorial and he said he was standing by his statement.
The editorial page editor says that he is apparently the editor of the editorial pages. He said, we stand by our editorials and our editorials speak for themselves.
Well, let me ask you, would you want to sit down with somebody who makes that statement without anything else? I mean, he's just told you. I ain't changing my mind.
Well, wait a minute. Let me, Frank, You know, you sound like George W. Bush now. I'm not talking to Iraq, and I'm not talking to Syria, or Iran, and I'm not talking to Syria. But if you're James Baker and you want to get the job done, you talk to the people that you're having a disagreement with. So if you think that the way to solve it is to, you know, club somebody over the head, which is metaphorically, in a way, what the picketing consists of, and not only to picket the paper, but to go after their ten advertisers they've got left. I mean, be my guest. It's America. You can do it. But is that the smartest way to get what you want?
Well, let me tell you. Recently on a radio program that I don't normally listen to, Fox News, on my way to Reno, there was some...
Well, you've got to be desperate to listen to Fox News.
There was no reception. There was some author of a book. I think he might be related to Rush Limbaugh, who wrote a book. And his quote on the radio was something like, "Democrats kill Marines." That was his slogan. Now, I wouldn't want to sit down with that individual and talk to him about his ideology, because I would consider it a complete waste of time.
Well, in that case, I would agree with you, but I don't know that I agree with you with the B. And, you know, you have other methods besides the picketing that I think would probably be more effective. But we'll discuss that. And I do thank you for calling in and elucidating your point of view. I really appreciate it, Frank. Thanks for doing
it.
Thank you. You're welcome. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. You heard Frank. He is a CCPOA member, former member, and also is an attorney, and he's commenting on prison guards and why even sit down with the editorial board editor or the editorial board of the Bee. Let's just picket them because they're offended by the use of the term prison guard. They would prefer to be called correctional peace officers or peace officers, and they hated the idea that of the sentence, that the prospect that routine boredom could be broken anytime by violence is what makes the job stressful. He takes exception to the term routine boredom. Don't you think that's a part of the equation of being part of the human condition? Occasionally we are routinely bored. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Is picketing the bee and going after the bee's advertiser the smartest thing this union can do? Will it be effective? Or do they not want to be effective? Maybe they just want to call attention to themselves. You tell me. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, we're going to see tonight lows right around 37 for some precipitation. Light rain coming our way for Saturday and Sunday. Tomorrow, I think we're going to see some sprinkles, but still high 61. Now, our traffic going I-5 and J Street. It's a little slow due to a two-car crash. Eastbound 50, a power and road. We have a disabled vehicle in the middle of the roadway, actually, right over the fog line. And Del Deo Drive at Fair Oaks Boulevard, there is a two-car crash. Major injuries. We have three or four emergency vehicles over there blocking the scene. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Protecting your right to choose the left.
One of the most important things in your life.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
I'm with Mike Franz, General...
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpots. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Thank you.
Live, local, and left. It's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting marshmallows.
329 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. We're hoping to have a party around here, and you can join at 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. And what we're talking about, LA Times is reporting this, that the CCPOA, California Correctional Peace Officers Association, don't forget, they're a very powerful union. It is launched, and even though they weren't for Schnortzy, and they were for Phil Angelides, it wasn't enough to pull Phil out of the lurch that he was in, but they have launched, the union has launched a statewide action against the bee. They're calling it, and other McClatchy papers, and they're calling it a boycott over recent editorials and the paper's use of the term prison guards instead of correctional officer. So they feel that the bee's editorial board published a mean-spirited personal attack upon CCPOA members, asserting that we are, quote, whiners who don't do a very dangerous job at all. Well, those are fighting words, says the union. And it refers to this editorial and the November 18 call, the cloak of victimhood. The bee is saying that the CCPOA portrays a guard's work as one of unending suffering and victimization, and that the reality is that a California prison guard can go to work every day for 20 years and never break up a fight, never get assaulted. What makes the job so stressful and dangerous, reports the bee on its editorial pages, is uncertainty. The prospect that routine boredom could be broken at any time by violence. So they're saying at the end, the union needs to get out of its current I am a victim, hear me whine mode, and these are fighting words to the union. What are your thoughts about this? 349-1320, Joe, Yuba City. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Joe.
Hi. Yeah, I was just calling to let you know, like, first of all, it's like the reason they don't like to be called prison guards is if you say prison guard and you think of a movie, probably the first one that comes to your mind is Shawshank Redemption with the prison guards.
Yeah, okay.
Well, if you think about the other one, Stephen King wrote The Green Mile. The Green Mile is a whole lot closer to the way guards really are.
I have not seen The Green Mile, but so tell me what your thoughts are. Are you a prison guard yourself, correctional peace officer?
Yes, I am.
All right, so tell me the term that you prefer.
I prefer correctional officer because, like I said, we're more, tend to be like more professional the way Tom Hanks and that movie portrayed it, as opposed to you do this or we're going to beat you up type mentality.
So are you going to participate in the picketing of the bee, and do you think it's wise that the union pickets the bee and goes after their advertisers?
I don't know about the advertisers. Picketing the bee, yeah, because it's like when, okay, I'll give you an example. The case in Corcoran. Okay, it was all front page when the case was going on. As soon as it came out that all the officers in Corcoran were exonerated, the case suddenly it's like became page five news. And it wasn't on the front page.
Well, what we had heard originally, and I don't know what the outcome, I was out of California for a few years, is that there were guards pitting prisoners against each other.
And that was all proven to be false, and the only
evidence
they had from that was...
All right, but that's an issue that's an aside. The point is, you think that because the newspaper used the term prison guard, that's reason enough to go pick at the bee and its advertisers.
No,
is that what
I'm
you're telling
me? I'm saying the other comments. I've been a prison guard for 20 years.
And have you encountered much violence?
I've been stabbed once in about 10 fist fights. I've been involved in 8 different riots with numerous inmates. Yeah, I've seen a lot of violence. I know what the inside of a human looks like. You?
I'm sorry. I am having a hard time hearing you. So we're going to leave it there, and I thank you for the call. I just can't hear him too well. 349-1320, 866-620-6320. Scott and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Enid.
Tell me what's on your mind.
Yeah, I was just listening to the discussion, and I want to applaud you for taking the issue on and the bee. You know, the union, the guards work in a difficult environment. There's no question about that. But it's the union tactics that are so abhorrent because they're so overly sensitive. When anyone even begins to criticize them, they react in such a defensive way.
Why would that be? It's for those of you just tuning in, let me just reiterate, and you should never miss 1 second of Enid Live because you could be missing something juicy. The Bee on its editorial pages ran an editorial November 18th entitled "The Cloak of Victimhood," and what it said is the CCPOA portrays a guard's work life as one of unending suffering and victimization. The reality is that a California prison guard can go to work every day for 20 years and never break up a fight, never get assaulted. What makes the job so stressful and dangerous is uncertainty, the prospect that routine boredom could be broken at any time by violence, end quote. So they hate the idea of, it concludes, the union needs to get out of its current I am victim, hear me whine mode. I think this is all fairly innocuous. You can agree, you can disagree, but the union is bent out of shape. They want to picket the Bee. They're going to do it December 22nd, and the Bee and other McClatchy papers are calling it a beecot. A beecot. Well, then you could get stung by the bee, and apparently they feel that way. And they want to go after advertisers as well. All right, so that's the scenario, Scott. Take it from there.
Well, it's really typical. I mean, firefighters do the same thing. And it's the union mentality that does this. We should recognize that it's a difficult job for the individual employees, but the union mentality is that any time that someone shines a spotlight on their work practices or their working conditions or their salaries or their benefits,
they're making a lot of money. It's a risk. It's like the contractors in Iraq. It's very risky in Iraq, but the cost to benefit is if you can survive it, you'll come out of there with a lot of dough in your pocket.
Well, thanks to Governor Gray Davis and the 3% at 50, these guards can retire at 90 and 100% of salary after 30 years on the job. So, I mean, that's not so bad.
What do they make on average?
Oh, I'm sure that they have, with overtime, they're in excess of $100,000. Some probably $150,000 or more.
Whoa. Well, let's hear somebody who is working for the prison system who maybe could call us and elucidate, or from the union. Scott, thanks very much for calling us. 349-1320, 866-620-6320. Ernest and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ernest.
Hi, Enid. I'm listening to your show. Remember when we were going through that state budget crisis and there was a lot of call to cut back, and the prison guards were the only one, if I recall this correctly, that actually got a raise, a significant raise, where we were struggling with our schools and all the state departments like welfare and mental health were cut back significantly. And, you know, these are the programs that keep people out of prisons.
Yeah, well, if you keep them out of prison, then the prison guards won't have a job.
Well, and, you know, so I heard your comment about, you know, the teachers deserve the same kind of pay because, you know, they're basically the same risk. And it's just, you know, I don't know, maybe they have a pretty strong union as well, but it appears not as strong as the prison guards. And, you know, in today's world, if you can't take a little criticism,
well, how tough?
You shouldn't be carrying a gun.
How tough are you? If you're taking such great exception to what strikes me as a fairly mild editorial, that you now want to pick at the newspaper and the advertisers. I mean, you know, the other way to do it to get what you want and to get better coverage is you sit down with the editorial board. You have a lot of your members write letters to the editor. You know, they are potential subscribers, and they are maybe even potential advertisers, and maybe you get them to cover a day in the life of, and then you get favorable PR and favorable coverage instead of doing something that's blunt, that it's like a blunt instrument, which is maybe the way they're used to working. Ernest, I thank you for the call. 349-1320. Sandra, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Sandra.
Hey, listen, I am loath to support the prison guard, but I'm kind of anytime you bring up any sort of union thing, people are so quick to bash the unions. And I'm just like, well, what other tools do these people have to protect their livelihood except unions? And
I'm a big union supporter, and I am a member of a union, and I have been a treasurer. I've been a board member, and I think unions can do a wonderful job, and they've been marginalized by a lot of employers.
Well, no,
so I don't think this blanket bashing of unions is not fair. There are unions, and there are unions.
Yeah, I'm not saying that you're doing it. I just get the tone from people. They're so quick to think, oh, you know, the unions are, you know, diabolical somehow. And I'm thinking, well, if we had more of them, you know, people would be able to earn a better living. But as far as the prison guard, you know, I think they're kind of disgusting. I think the whole industry feeds on something really sinister in this society. So I don't agree with them. They need to back off, you know.
Sandra, thank you. 349-1320, 866-6, 26-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Well, Enid, thank you very much. Eastbound 50 just east of Harbor. We've got a two-car crash. Northbound I-5. Northbound I-5 is actually pretty congested along the way. And Garden, which is downtown, right there by the highway, we have a three-car crash on the right-hand side of North Sac. Northbound 99 just south of Florin Road, we have a two-car crash. And it looks like a vehicle is on the right-hand side causing a three-car crash. River Road at 12. Our weather tonight is low 33. Highs coming up tomorrow right around 61. We are going to see some showers Friday and on through the weekend. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Dialing for democracy. It's Enid Live on AM 1320,
Sacramento's Left Channel.
How would you like...
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it, because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence. Great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it,
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy. See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott! It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Talk to Enid now,
349-1320. 345 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. What we're talking about, if you are just joining us, is an editorial that ran in the Sacramento Bee that has really pissed off the CCPOA, the Prison Guards Union, or the California Correctional Peace Officers Association. A, they don't like to be called prison guards, although I'm not sure why. One call to tell us that it might remind people of the Shawshank Redemption and another film. I saw the Shawshank Redemption, but, you know, I don't remember how they dealt with prison. I'm sure the prison guards were not, or the correctional peace officers were not the stellar. I think Morgan Freeman was. Was it Tim Robbins? Morgan Freeman. Anyway, they were the stars here. But in any event, the CCPOA is portrayed as being victimizing itself. I am victim. Hear me whine. That they're in that mode. And the Bee says, you know, you could be a prison guard and go to work every day for 20 years and never break up a fight, never get assaulted. But what makes the job so stressful is the danger of uncertainty. And I'm also asking the question, you know, you could say that of teachers. Teachers go to schools where now it is a natural part of the school is a metal detector, and kids can be really violent, and they can be unpredictable. And if you're a teacher, you don't make anywhere near what the CCPOA is paid. And you are perhaps as vulnerable, maybe even more vulnerable. But so, well, here's what the CCPOA wants to do. It wants to not only picket the Bee, they're calling it a Bee cut, and other McClatchy papers, not just the Bee, but other McClatchy papers as well. They want to go after the advertisers. Is this effective, and why are they doing it? I don't get this. I think there are more effective ways to handle the situation. This one sounds thuggish. This one sounds like you're hammering with a blunt edge, and maybe if you've been working in prisons that long, that's all you know how to do. 349-1320. Ross, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ross.
Hi, Enid. A great show.
Thank you.
I've called you before. I'm a language lover like yourself, and I just have 2 cents of my own to input as far as their preference for being called correctional peace officers. To be correct, you have to stand with someone. It comes from being erect, to stand up, and to be cooperative, to help someone. When the prison system had a rehabilitation aspect to it, that may have been appropriate to use that language. Now, you can't have a correctional relationship if there is adversarial relationship in the same thing. It it can't be. It's like,
well, maybe they're correcting their papers. They're giving them B minuses for deportment, giving them Fs for deportment, and B minuses for language skills. Yes.
So you think
they're trying to tart themselves up and that they get bent out of shape if you call them prison guards?
Well, prison guards means they're guarding the prison. Who are they guarding the prison from? The prisoners. And at that, actually, you see that in the riots the other correctional officer talked about. He said he'd been participating in 8 different riots.
All right, you're saying that actually prison guard is a more accurate description of what they do rather than correctional peace officers, because we always call them peace officers, but that's up for grabbing.
They cannot call themselves correctional officers because they're not correcting anything. In fact, I think it was just last year.
Well, they correct you if you get into a fight.
It's not the proper usage of the term. And as far as the correctional Department of Correction, I think they've stopped calling this Department of Correction, didn't they? A year or two ago, they finally said we don't have any rehabilitation thing except for the CSY, the state.
Somebody called about that the other day, and you're going to have to refresh my memory, those of you. All right, so
yeah,
you're
so
saying
it's just youth. That's the only thing that has any correctional aspect to it as far as the state's concerned now.
All right, Ross, so what you're saying here, your point here, is that prison guard is actually a more accurate description of what CCPOA members are about. Okay, what else?
What they're about officially. Now, some of them may be very, very into rehabilitating individual prisoners like the character in The Green Mile, and that's great, but if the system is not set up to support those people will find it very tough. And they're the people who are probably getting injured because they're extending a hand when there is not a systemic rehabilitative attitude, sort of like a classroom.
Yeah, in place.
You have to get rid of the 5% to 10% of the people who are just incorrigible in the prison.
All right, Ross,
who don't want to rehabilitate.
All right, I take your point, and I'm delighted that you made it. You made an excellent point here. 349-1320. Ross says, and he's a language lover, here's what Ross is saying. He's saying, you know what? That is a more accurate description of what is going on and what a member of the CCPOA does. He really ought to be called a prison guard. I would think that members will take exception to that. William in SAC, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, William.
Oh, hi, Enid. Listen, I just want to make a quick comment, which you can apply any way you want to, regarding the present situation. But I've had a personal boycott against the bees since 1978-79. Why? What happened? Well, I was in high school at the time, and I had no personal stake in this, but the Sacramento Bee is...
You've had a boycott for 27 years?
Yeah.
Has it been effective, may I ask?
Let me no.
Wait, but yes, I would... All right, tell me quick...
Well, I don't know, Enid. With the decline in readership, who knows what my... the vibes have been, because the Bee has a lot of bad feelings in Sacramento, justifiably so.
But why have you boycotted the Bee for 27 years?
Okay,
but you got to tell me quick, because we're about to take a break.
Okay, real quick. In 1978-79, they had a printers union, which they had, I had no personal stake in this, but I was in high school at the time. But I observed what they did, and it was a really big, tough lesson in civics and in reality. But they had to negotiate in good faith, supposedly, with their pretense of good faith of the union. They busted them, they broke them, and they took on scabs. And at the time, the Bee was supposedly this champion of the Democratic Party at the time. And that was they're a bunch of hypocrites. They've been hypocrites ever since. Basically, the way I look at it, it's the McClatchy family. The McClatchy family represents the corporate interests, the interests of the rich. I stay up with workers, hence my boycott of the Bee. They've never represented the working class.
But that is a different issue. All right, I see what you're saying, and I understand where you're coming from. But I think that's a bit of a different issue.
And prison guards represent workers. This is divide and conquer. The Bee is famous at this. There's only one monopoly.
All right, we're going to leave it. We're going to leave it there, William, and I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-26-1320. William has been mad at the Bee for 27 years, and that anger has not abated, it sounds like. But it's a different issue, I think, with the prison guards wanting to picket the Bee and wanting to picket the and going after the advertisers, and not just the Bee, but all the other McClatchy papers. They don't specify which ones because of an editorial that they got bent out of shape over, and it's questionable, A, whether they should have been bent out of shape over it. B, the response, I think, is way larger. I don't think they're going to do themselves a lot of good. I think they could be much more effective in a lot of different ways. And we'll discuss it. 349-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Light showers we're going to see Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Little sun shining in coming up on Monday today. Nice, though, 37 for the low. Highs tomorrow, 61. Our traffic slowing down at westbound 50 at Fresh Pond, northbound I-5 just north of Garden. Downtown, actually, that's quite congested. And if you drop off there by J Street, you're going to see a huge traffic jam. So you might want to just keep going, get in that left lane. Northbound 99 just south of Florin Road, we have a vehicle on the right-hand side. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
It is significant because it emphasizes democracy in action.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly.
Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA four-diamond casino resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
No more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate. And then up your ass. All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal internet, that is you and me. You and me is that tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know.
president insists he's realistic about Iraq.
I've been saying a lot. I understand how tough it is, and I've been telling the American people how tough it is, and they know how tough it is.
The man who tried to save his stranded family was done in by the weather.
The cause of death to James Kim was exposure with hypothermia.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. While Iraq Study Group co-chairman Lee Hamilton was telling Congress the situation in Iraq is perilously close to being hopeless, President Bush, after meeting at the White House with British Prime Minister Tony Blair, told a news conference he's disappointed by the pace of success. Pressed by a reporter, he said it's bad in Iraq and talked about changing strategy. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
More than ever before, President Bush committed himself to finding a new approach to the situation in Iraq.
If the present situation needs to be changed, it follows that we'll change it if we want to succeed.
He said the recommendations from the Iraq Study Group would factor into his thinking, though he has reservations about a number of them.
I don't think Jim Baker and Lee Hamilton expect us to accept every recommendation.
At a news conference with British Prime Minister Tony Blair, Mr. Bush made it clear their objective in Iraq remains victory. He plans a speech on his new strategy, but didn't say when. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
The leaders of the Iraq Study Group met today with the Senate Armed Services Committee, and former Secretary of State James Baker presented all 79 recommendations as a package.
I hope we don't treat this like a fruit salad and say, I like this, but I don't like that. I like this, but I don't like that. This is a comprehensive strategy.
Baker revealed that President Bush recently authorized him to approach the government of Iran about the situation in Iraq, but the Iranians said they were not inclined to help this time around. Now this.
Well, we're here with CompUSA technology expert Meg Pitts.
Hi, Bob.
Meg, when I was a kid, we were always moving.
Oh, was your dad in the Army?
No, he had a moving company.
This holiday, you know what to get someone on the go?
Corrugated boxes?
A 17-inch dual-core notebook with a gig of memory and a 120-gig hard drive. Just $699.99 after savings and rebate.
Wow.
Plus, CompUSA has complete gift packs.
Really?
Buy a main item like a notebook or a TV and then save 10% on qualifying accessories when you buy three or more. There are 8 different complete gift pack categories. See CompUSA for details.
I've got a cough that won't quit. That's why Robitussin DM is my Robitussin.
My chest is all congested, so Robitussin chest congestion is my Robitussin.
My cold came with a cough, and my head is stuffed up too. That's why Robitussin CF is my Robitussin.
Robitussin has formulas for coughs, for colds, for congestion, and for flu. So no matter what you've got, there's Robitussin relief with your name on it. Use as directed.
James Kim was already hungry and exhausted when he set out in the snow to get help for his stranded family. Oregon State Police Lieutenant Greg Hastings says he made a valiant effort before succumbing to exposure and hypothermia.
James, in his effort to try to seek help for his family, traveled well over 10 miles on foot during the time since he left on Saturday morning.
He was found dead yesterday. Kim's wife and two young daughters were rescued Monday from the site where their car had gotten stuck in the snow just days after Thanksgiving. The weather doesn't look good, but NASA will try to get Shuttle Discovery off the ground. Let's go live to the Kennedy Space Center and CBS News correspondent Peter King.
Almost all aboard.
NTD, CDR, comm check. CDR, this is NTD. I have you loud and clear. Welcome aboard, Roman.
Well, that's the nickname for Commander Mark Polansky, who hopes he and his crew will be able to fly in about 2.5 hours. But low, thick clouds could mean a scrub because Polansky's got to be able to see the runway if he has to turn around making an emergency landing here. For now, the countdown moves on. NASA's hoping for a break in the weather. Bill?
Authorities in Phoenix say they're sure now that a 42-year-old construction worker who's been jailed since September is the baseline killer. A criminal who raped, robbed, and shot people between August 2005 and last June.
We are submitting 71 criminal charges to the county attorney for prosecution against Mark Goudeau.
Police Chief Jack Harris says the charges include homicide. 9 of the victims died. 14 Taco Bells in New Delaware have closed temporarily as the company widens its effort to cope with an E. coli outbreak. At least one illness linked to Taco Bell has cropped up in Delaware. Hundreds of gray heads bowed at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, as survivors of the Japanese attack gathered to remember the 2,390 who perished on that December day in 1941. It's been 65 years, and the veterans don't know if they'll still be around for the next big memorial in 2011. Many say this ceremony was probably their last. You're listening to the CBS.
I'm with Mike Frank.
New rule.
Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotten tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
There's an easier way of doing it. It costs you nothing if you're in the 916 area code, 349-1320. And if you're not, 866-620-6132. And we stream live, 1320, leftchannel.com. So we are heard far and wide, any place that you can position yourself in front of a computer. And you can email me, enid@kctc.com. We are joined by Bonnie Wolf. You've probably heard her commentaries on the competition, NPR. She has a new book out called Talking with My Mouth Full, Crab Cakes, Bundt Cakes, and Other Kitchen Stories. And the foreword is by crime writer and attorney and blockbuster author Scott Turow. Bonnie Wolf, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You know, here's how I decided that I thought you would be great to have on the program. I saw a wonderful piece about you in USA Today, and there was a recipe in there for, what is it, gas? Gas company chocolate or gas company nuts or something?
Well, we called it the gas company candy when I was growing up. When I grew up in Minneapolis, and the gas company, which was quaintly called Minigasco, used to send recipes with the bill. And this one came, and they called it.
It would help the bill go down better, I guess. Yes.
Well, it was at a time when they were giving home ec tips. And they did that for many years, and then they started giving energy-saving tips. So it's an example, I think, of how food sort of chronicles changing times as well as many other things.
Well, I thought it would be wonderful to have you on so that we could talk about that thing. Deep in our hearts, we have this idealized picture of what the holidays consist of, whether we're celebrating Hanukkah or Christmas or Kwanzaa or what we're celebrating. This is the time of year that those old synapses get fired up, and we smell the smells in our minds, if not actually. And yet here we are. We've turned our kitchens into our homes into motels. Nobody's eating at the same time. Families hardly eat together. They're buying takeout or they're buying stuff from the supermarket that's already prepared. And so I thought it would be interesting to talk to you, because how can we, you know, as we're approaching the holiday seasons, in what spirit can we sort of participate with food?
Well, I think there are many ways, and I think particularly at the holidays we do a lot of connecting at the dinner table and in the kitchen, because I think part of it is because it's so connected with traditions. The same foods are cooked year after year. At Thanksgiving, you make the same thing that your mother made, that her mother made. And I know my son has certain requirements at Thanksgiving that are in his contract. I have to make
a
wild rice stuffing, and I have to make a corn pudding that involves many quarts of cream and certain pies. But it's a very, I don't know, there's something comforting about doing the same thing over and over again. And I think food connects us as families, as friends, as generations. Food is a way that we remember things. And at the holidays, it's particularly acute because families are together and they spend a lot of time in the kitchen. I edit an online food column for NPR and the competition. And
yes, comma, the competition.
I was editing one by a woman who has four children and every year makes a gingerbread house with her kids. And excuse me, it's just a lovely piece, and it does make you feel warm, and it makes you feel. I think food makes us feel kind of safe.
Well, you know, I have to say something. When New Orleans it continues to try to rebuild itself. One of the things that nobody thought about in the rebuilding of New Orleans is that a lot of family recipes, and in the case of people who live in New Orleans, were handed down generation to generation, and they were lost in the travails there.
Oh, it's a terrible thing,
I actually talked
to someone who lived in New Orleans who talked about that. And I mean, New Orleans is a city where food is particularly important. And right after Katrina, I did a little piece for the radio about the fascinating, I had read, every place I read, people were in shelters, people were in stadiums, wherever they were, they hung on to their food things. Some man tried to make red beans and rice. They were served chicory coffee at place and beignets so that they would feel as comfortable as possible. And there's just food is a very, very comforting thing. And after 9/11, I live in Washington, D.C. I live 8 blocks from the Capitol, and we could see the Pentagon smoldering, and we didn't know what was going on. And a group of my neighbors and friends, every night for a week, we got together and ate together. Nobody talked about it. Nobody planned it. Somebody just went out and got a rotisserie chicken. Somebody had lettuce in their crisper. And we just wanted to be together, but we wanted to be together around a table.
I can understand that. There's something that happens. There's something civilizing and humanizing and deeply rooted when people, friends, sit down and eat together. There's almost nothing more satisfying. Although I have to say, I want to know what you think, given that people don't know how to cook. I mean, the story that a friend of mine tells, and that's Marion Cunningham, she told about a friend of hers who's a TV producer, and he was determined to learn how to cook. And he was a bright guy, and he opens up a cookbook and he's trying to make a salad, and it says to toss the lettuce. So he stands on one side of the room and he tosses it to the other side of the room. So Marion said to him, what were you thinking? He said, well, I thought maybe they needed to aerate the salad. I was once in Spain where they had, and it's been a while, I'm sure it's changed now, but when I first went to Spain, they had one cooking school in all of Spain, I think, at least in all of Madrid. That is because nobody went to cooking school to learn how to cook. You learned from your family. Yeah, you learned at home. You didn't have to enroll in any place to learn it. And we are, you know, here's what I do. There's something vestigial in me. I clip recipes. In this lifetime, I'm not so sure I'm ever going to learn how to make any of those things.
Right.
I like to say I cook, but not in the kitchen, and I know how to assemble, a salad or enough so that I don't starve to death. But
you know how to toss the lettuce.
I do know how to toss the lettuce, but I don't do it from one side of the room to the other. But I have to say, I would love to do what you have just described, except I feel like my skills are so lacking that it might be 3 days before people actually, you know, the food got ready and people could actually sit down and eat, and then, you know, and who knows what the mortality rate would be.
Well, I think a lot has been lost. I mean, and it's I'm in my 50s, so when I went to school, we had home ec. I don't know if they, I think they have home ec, but it's now called, it's got some name about food science.
Home ec.
Yeah. And girls can also take shop, which unfortunately was not an option.
I would have loved to have learned shop. I would have loved made something. And we did have home ec, but I didn't take it. And I should have. I wish I had now.
Well, I had no choice, but my mother worked, but I did, she loved to cook and she loved to entertain, I came from a large family, and in my family, the great aunts were the wonderful cooks, and everything sort of centered around the kitchen. And it was a place where I learned a lot of things because it was, my mother would talk more easily in the kitchen. So I never cooked until I was in my 20s, but I absorbed a lot, I think.
Well, it's a great place for intimacy, too. Everybody's cooking, and, you know, you're busy with your hands, and you can have good conversations or no conversations at all, but a lot of warmth that can happen in those.
Well, it's also, and this is, again, about that happens around the holidays, it's a way to connect for the first time or reconnect with relatives who have died or relatives you've never known. And, you know, if you make...
Well, how are you connecting with the ones who've died?
Well, if you make your grandmother sweet potatoes your favorite aunt every Christmas or Thanksgiving, you know, these recipes keep these people alive. And then you tell stories to the next generation about great aunt so-and-so and what she cooked. And I think it's just a way of sort of living on. I had a great aunt who was supposedly the great cook in the family, and I never knew her, but I have all of her recipes, and I have a very clear sense of who she was from the stories my mother has told about, you know, eating at her dinner table.
All right, if we're dopes in the kitchen and we would like to embark on this wonderful endeavor, how would we begin to do that? Supposing we're not so adept and we want to have some friends over for the holidays, and we don't want to just serve them takeout, and we don't want to do what those high-end chefs in New York are doing. Did you read the Wall Street Journal over the weekend?
No.
These $75 entrees, if you go to these fancy places, the gravy is made with Gravy Master, and they're using Hellman's or Best Foods mayonnaise, and they're
Isn't
using
that right?
Yes, and they are using Heinz ketchup, and they're using the stuff that you can buy. They're using prepared foods that you can buy in the grocery store, and they are charging you $75. Oh, and potato chips too, some dishes, white bread, Wonder Bread, to coat crab cakes, because the chef insists that it coats better than some of these fancier breads.
Well, I would never coat crab cakes with anything. So I use a little breadcrumbs in crab cakes, but I'm quite a purist in the crab cake making. I think cooking can be very simple, and I am not an advocate of hot, fancy cooking, using words that you don't understand in languages you've never studied, and with techniques that you don't understand. Now, if you don't know what it means to toss a salad, you probably should start with the
well, there was
cooking.
Another woman who was trying to do high-altitude cooking, which you have to do if you live in a place like, say, Denver, which I did for a while.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and so she dropped an egg from a couple of stories up. She thought, I did not make that up, actually.
People are awfully literal. I know someone who lived in Dubai, and she had a cook, I guess, and she told him for Thanksgiving to cook the rice, so he found 10 pounds of rice and cooked it all. She didn't say just cook a little rice. She said cook the rice.
Cook the rice, so all the rice he could find, he cooked.
Exactly.
Oh.
But I think there are lots of books, elementary books that teach you the basics of cooking that explain what sauté means, what tossing the salad means, what how to boil an egg. And I think those are really, I think we've become such food snobs that people are intimidated, and they're afraid to ask questions. And I think making good scrambled eggs is a hard thing. And my son had a friend here once who asked me how to poach an egg, and I thought, well, that's so easy. And he had a terrible time doing it. A lot of it takes practice. I also think you can buy a lot of ready-made things that you put together with something that you make. You know, you get a beautiful piece of meat or a piece of fish and cook it very simply. And there's nothing better than food that's unadulterated.
Well, and the other thing is, even if you cheat a little bit and you go get a rotisserie chicken.
I am a big proponent of the rotisserie.
And you, all right, what would you do? You're busy. You would love to have friends over. You're not so great in the kitchen. You go and you get a rotisserie chicken, and then what do you do with it?
Okay, tonight I'm having friends over for dinner, and I didn't have time to cook, so I went to, I live a block from a public market that's been here since 1873.
I know which one it is, too.
The Eastern Market.
All right, I've been there.
It's a wonderful market, and they have Mr. Canales sells rotisserie chickens. They cost $6.55 for a whole chicken, and I got the chicken. They're delicious. The first thing you need to know is where to get the best stuff. So I bought a rotisserie chicken a couple weeks ago, and it wasn't very good. I know that Mr. Canales' rotisserie chickens are great. So I get a chicken from him. I cut it up. I put it on a plate with some fresh herbs so it looks pretty, and then I make a great big salad. I'm going to make a salad with clementines and toasted walnuts. All you do is put them in the toaster oven, just brown them a little bit. I'll put in some pomegranate seeds and make a little vinaigrette, and it's kind of a dinner. I serve chocolate sorbet for dessert with freeze-dried orange slices, the first of which I had were in San Francisco at the Ferry Building.
Oh, yeah, that's a great... Well, the other thing you can do for desserts that's even easier is you can get a good ice cream, maybe a Häagen-Dazs or, you know, your favorite ice cream, and or a good Italian gelato, and then put some kind of liqueur over it.
Oh, yeah, that's fabulous.
That's the easiest thing in the world to do. You can do Kahlua, you could do, what's the Irish... the Irish whiskey, what is that? Not Irish whiskey, but Irish cream.
Bailey's Irish cream.
Yeah, you can do something like that. But
you know what else is good?
What?
You take a little bit of ground coffee and put it over vanilla ice cream and pour a little scotch over it.
Oh, and hope your guests don't drive into a wall on their way
out. Well, just a little bit, but it's, I read it in, I think Marcella Hazan, you know, in an Italian cookbook.
Right.
It's delicious.
Well, I make her pesto, and it's a real easy blender pesto, and if I can do it,
pesto.
Yeah, anybody can do it, although I make all kinds of substitutions. My guest is Bonnie Wolfe. Her book is Talking With My Mouth Full, Crab Cakes, Bundt Cakes, and Other Kitchen Stories. Why did you write this book? Aside for the obvious reasons, you wanted to write a book, and it's nice to write a book. But what were you hoping to tell us? Because the world is full of cookbooks, and yet this is more than a cookbook. It is a book that talks about food. It's a food book.
I've been doing this kind of food writing for many years, both for newspapers and now for the radio. And it every time, particularly on the radio, when I would do something about these sort of quirky stories and childhood memories, and we would get a lot of response. And it so I just looked at what I had. I think there, I have a piece in the book called Aunt Esther's Antipasto, which is about my great aunt who had an arranged marriage to a fireman on the Minnesota Iron Range. And she moved way, way up to northern Minnesota when she was 19 years old with rudimentary cooking skills from her Eastern European mother. And she found this vast culinary cornucopia up there because people from all over the world had come to work in the mines. And so she learned Sicilian cooking, she learned Czech cooking, she learned Cornish cooking, pasties were like meat turnovers were very, I thought everybody ate those in the winter. But it just, food, what we eat and where we get these foods just tells us a lot about who we are and where we come from. And I think it's just fascinating to look, food's a great window through which to look at all sorts of things, history, politics.
And yet, one of the things that, if you've been looking at the papers this week, 83%, Consumers reports that 83% of chickens, even the premium chickens, are filled with filled with bacteria. I'm not going to say it right, but it's certainly salmonella, bacteria, I forget what it's called, phylobacteria or something. 83% of chickens. You have now scallions are being, or green onions.
Or Taco Bell, you can't.
Yeah, they're pulling the green onions, and I'm calling them Italian scallions in honor of Rocky. Don't drink the juice, the Jamba Juice, with strawberries in it, because they're pulling the strawberries. They're afraid that the strawberries are contaminated with Listeria. We are poisoning ourselves to death, not to mention the hormones and so on that are in the chicken and meat supply antibiotics, so that if you have an infection, we are becoming more and more resistant to these antibiotics because we're getting so much of it in our food.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think this is why more and more why the organic food movement is gaining currency, and why people want to know now for the first time since we farmed for ourselves, we want to know where our food comes from. And I think it's all great. I think you should know. I know some of the farmers who I buy food from, and I trust them. So
yeah, but if you eat too much tuna fish, you start glowing in the dark because there's so much mercury in the tuna fish.
Well, fortunately, I don't eat much tuna fish.
But
salmon more than a certain few times a week because, some of this, everything's bad for you. And breathing the air is bad for you. So
I know we're poisoning ourselves to death, but as long as we're doing it, we should get together and do things in the kitchen, and we should enjoy it, because who knows? We're all in the checkout line, and we don't know when we're going to get come out to the cashier. You have a wonderful quote from one of my favorite writers, E.B. White. On days when warmth is the most important need of the human heart, the kitchen is the place you can find it. It dries the wet sock. It cools the hot little brain. I think that's well said.
It's a wonderful quote, and I think it kind of encapsulates what I hope to be getting across in these stories, that it is, it's the center of the home. It really is. And it's, I think it was very hard for women of my generation to embrace the domestic arts. And, you know, it was very important that we prove ourselves professionally. And this meant in many times, you know, packing away your apron and not telling people you like to cook, because then you weren't serious.
Or not finding out that you might like to cook, because you were, my mother would never let me in the kitchen, because she, first of all, she said I'd make a mess. And when I was a little kid, I thought it would be fun to be in the kitchen and do things. So I'm a great devotee of cooking shows and watching what they do in the kitchen. But you're right. And you have somebody like Cheryl Mendelson. I don't know if you've seen her book called Home Comforts. It's a very thick book.
Yes.
And it became a surprise bestseller. Cheryl Mendelson, yes, I think, has a doctorate. She is an attorney, and she has a doctorate in philosophy from maybe Harvard. I've interviewed her. And she writes this book called Home Comforts, which tells you how to shake out your duvets, you know, how to keep a good home, how to change the linens, how to clean this, how to fix that. And it is a really thick book of the kind of thing women, you know, 100 years ago would have known without a book, because they would have learned it at home. But the things you would not have expected from a Harvard attorney who also has a PhD in philosophy.
Well, it has now become acceptable. It's become an acceptable academic subject. I mean, there are food studies or food ways or some such name. There are, but I have a collect. I have. Did you ever know the Settlement Cookbook?
Yes, my mother had a copy of it, and I don't. It's walked away somewhere, but yes,
well,
I do remember that.
The Settlement Cookbook was written in 1901, and it was one of the first cookbooks that did. It was actually done in Milwaukee by German Jewish immigrants they weren't immigrants, but to help the Russian immigrants adapt to American society. And what it did was it told you how to set a table, how to clean your sheets, exactly the kind of thing that's now been done 100 years later, but as a, not for homemakers as much as for everyone. And it's just, it's an interesting thing to see how full circle this.
Daniel Gilbert, who is a Harvard professor and a psychologist, he's written a book called Stumbling Toward Happiness, and he's studied happiness a lot. And he says that, and he has looked at what makes people happy. And it isn't more money, unless you're very, very poor. And then if you get some money and you're now in the middle class, even the lower middle class, that makes a big difference and does make you happier. But if you're already in the middle class, a huge windfall, the lotto, something like that, it doesn't make you happier much. You get happier when your kids finally leave home, and you really are happier. Not with the high paying job, not with the promotion. You're happiest when you have friends, and cooking is a way to keep that going. Bonnie Wolf, I am just delighted that you joined us today. She is the author of Talking with My Mouthful, Crab Cakes, Bundt Cakes, and Other Kitchen Stories.
Well, thank you so much, Enid.
You're welcome. Thank you, Bonnie. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have westbound 50 just east of northbound Watt Avenue. Hit and run, no injuries. That hit and run, capital of California, is just, Sacramento is insane with it. There's several and causing car collisions all along the way. Northbound 99 just south of eastbound 50. Westbound I-80 at Trunksville Road. And there we have a defective signal light. It looks like it is slowing traffic down. I know we do have a two-car crash there. Westbound 50 just west of 65th Street and Watt Avenue at Winding Creek Road. We have a three-car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Keeping the metal to the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Guys,
new rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope.
The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonia nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's terror. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule. Jewish people have to start. The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to. Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth. AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live, 3 to 7 on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. We're talking with Bonnie Wolfe, and we're talking about food. So if you're just joining us, you've missed talking with my mouth full of crab cakes, blint cakes, and other kitchen stories. But I am inspired to try to learn how to cook pretty quick in this lifetime. And I hope I make it. I mean, I can make a few things, but I just love the idea of orchestrating, you know, and becoming so easy about it that you know, I once tried to make a New Year's Eve dinner for somebody, and I swear to you, I don't think we sat down to eat till after midnight because you got to figure out the timing of this stuff, and you know, I just didn't have it down. But there's a way to do it, and I think if you're just dipping your toes into it, then you do exactly what Bonnie decided, and that is you get a rotisserie chicken, but a good one, and then you go from there, and you learn how to do a little bit more each time. At least I'm going to take her advice to heart. If you're just joining us, what we began with is prison guards or CCPOA members targeting the bee. They're calling it a bee cot. They're targeting the bee and McClatchy papers, and they're even going to picket against that. They're going after the advertisers of the bee, in case the bee has very many advertisers left. Well, it does, but its revenues are down a bit. And I'll share that with you. And then I want to add to the conversation. The California Correctional Peace Officers Association, CCPOA, has launched a statewide action against the Sacramento Bee and other McClatchy papers, a BCOT, over recent editorials and the newspaper's use of the term prison guards instead of correctional officer. Now, some of you have called in, one of you called in to say correctional officer is not correct because not much correction goes on, not much rehab goes on, but in any event, members of the CCPOA can address that if you like. One member believes that when the Sacramento Bee's editorial board published a mean-spirited personal attack, what they're calling a mean-spirited personal attack, on CCPOA members, that they don't do a very dangerous job at all. Well, those are fighting words and that they're whiners. So here's what the Bee actually said. It was a November 18 editorial headlined, "The Cloak of Victimhood." And here's what the Bee, this is a direct quote from the Bee. "The CCPOA portrays a guard's work life as one of unending suffering and victimization. The reality is that a California prison guard can go to work every day for 20 years and never break up a fight and never get assaulted. What makes the job so stressful and dangerous is uncertainty, the prospect that routine boredom could be broken at any time by violence." While they're mad at the use of the term routine boredom, they don't want to be called prison guards. They want to be called correctional officers. The union, says the Bee, needs to get out of its current "I am a victim, hear me whine" mode. Well, the response of the CCPOA is to picket in front of the Bee, and they're going to do that December the 22nd. That's number one. And they want to pressure McClatchy advertisers as well, and how they plan to do that, I'm not sure. My recommendation would be, if they want more effective coverage, is to sit down with the editorial board or to flood the Bee with letters to the editor or to try to see if there could be some coverage on the, not on the editorial pages, but on the reporting pages, a day in the life of a prison guard, so that, you know, you can go with somebody to see how dangerous or not dangerous it is. They're making a lot of money. They have decided that the cost-to-benefit ratio, if you're going to do this kind of work, there is a danger. But, you know, if you're going to be a high school teacher, there's a danger, too. A lot of high schools have metal detectors, and a lot of high school kids can be violent, and a lot of teachers have gotten assaulted. So you've got that situation going on, and teachers don't make anywhere near what CCPOA members make, I think, generally speaking. And somebody else called in to say that there was a time when the CHP and the CCPOA or prison guards were making about the same, and now prison guards or correctional officers are making way more. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So are they whining? Are they, in fact, perpetuating the assessment of them by the Bee that they are victimizing themselves, that they're whining, that they are, they, you know, get over it? Is this a blunt instrument, the kind of which that they are used to dealing with when you pick at the newspaper and then you want to go after the advertisers? What are your thoughts about that? And in addition, we have Arianna Huffington, who we used to call her Arianna Nothington, but now she's not married to now she's not a Republican anymore, and she's got this very amazing website that everybody said wouldn't work, and it's working beautifully. She wrote a cautionary tale about Hillary, and she has now a piece in the Los Angeles Times that everybody's talking about. So let me give you the little fairy tale that she writes about Hillary. She says, "Gather on, little ones. It's a cautionary tale for perfect little Hillarys everywhere." This is Arianna Huffington. So I want to add this to the conversation. "Gather around, little ones. I have a story to tell you. It is a cautionary tale about a perfect little girl who had a seemingly perfect little plan. The perfect girl was named Hillary, and her plan was to become president of the United States. So, after joining the world's most exclusive club, she set out to do everything her head and her consultants told her was right. She learned the rules of the club and followed them closely. She reached across the aisle and brought home the bacon for her constituents back home. She posed for smiling photo ops, first with Bill Frist, and then Newt Gingrich, and then Rick Santorum. She backed a bill criminalizing flag burning, came out against violent video games, signed on to President Bush's missile defense plan, shifted her language on abortion, and became a bellicose backer of the war in Iraq, convinced that the country is not ready for a female commander-in-chief who isn't a hawk." She dutifully sharpened the points of her triangulation strategy, decorating her rhetoric in red state-friendly shades. She was careful, oh so careful, and aimed to please, never saying anything that would get her in trouble. She also quietly and methodically began building her campaign team, surrounding herself with a gaggle of advisors and consultants, raising millions of dollars, and lining up a top-flight national finance director to help her raise millions more, reaching out to power brokers in her home state and sending out press releases through the New York Times. She even hired a Netroots pro to harness the energy of the Internet and help her win the favor of the blogosphere. With Democrats on the rise, her perfect plan seemed to be working out perfectly. And then, suddenly, unexpectedly, came a rumbling in the distance. A rumbling caused by a boy named Barack. Indications are that before the year is out, Barack will officially be in. All at once, a surge of enthusiasm and support for the boy named Barack is threatening to ruin all of the girl named Hillary's perfect plans, like sandcastles being washed away by a rising tide. So, my little ones, writes Arianna Huffington, what is the lesson to be learned from this tale? That you might as well speak your mind and do what is in your heart, because you never know what waits around the corner, what unforeseen forces are headed your way. As the poet tells us, the best laid plans of mice and men, and perfect little girls, often go awry. And man, oh man, are they ever going awry for Hillary? Well, you know what they say, says Arianna Huffington. Obama happens. Ooh, and wait till you hear her piece in the Los Angeles Times today that Ruby's talking about. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together with Lisa West.
So, Enid, what are you doing this weekend?
Why? What are you doing?
Well, I'm just saying that, you know what, I mean, if you're going to the city or if you're going to, you know, San Jose or whatever, I probably is a good idea because I think it's only going to rain in Sacramento.
It's only going to rain in Sacramento?
Yeah.
The hit and run capital of California.
It's pretty chilly down there in the city, but we have precipitation Friday, Saturday, and Sunday coming in Sacramento. Lows tonight right around 33. South and I-5 just south of Arena Boulevard. Now, our traffic, it's pretty thick. We've got some collisions along southbound Cap City Freeway and over there southbound 99. I think starting at Sheldon Road, but it is, you know, congested there, about 10, 15 mile per hour traffic. Florin Road at Franklin Boulevard, we do have a two-car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
She's not right, but she's never wrong. Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
This Thursday through
at Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpots. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Don't want to be an American idiot. Don't want a nation under the new media. Hey, can you hear the sound of hysteria? Let's upload on all my f- America.
rule. Stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it, extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it,
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was? It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott! It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Talk to Enid now. 349-1320.
Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. You can join the conversation 349-1320 and 866-626-1320. We're talking about a fairy tale, a kind of a cautionary tale that Arianna Huffington wrote, and she wrote it on her Huffington Post, her blog, her website, but and in today's Los Angeles Times, she amplified on it. And the headline of her op-ed piece in today's Los Angeles Times is Hillary's Too Vain. And vain is spelled V-A-N-E, not that you know it, but not that you would know this by listening to closed captioning. I think the people who have never even been near the English language do the closed captioning because these words are beyond recognition. They're not even English-like. I have to tell you because we're always looking at closed captioning in case there's breaking news, and you cannot. Those of you who rely on closed captioning, I'm sure you can speak to this, or anybody who's monitoring closed captioning. In any event, she's saying Hillary's too vain, V-A-N-E, to be president. But if you look at the cable channels, they're spelling it V-A-I-N. And what she's meaning is that what she means by this, Arianna is saying that Hillary's more comfortable following than leading, that she is the quintessential political weather vane. On Iraq, Huffington accuses Hillary of remaining a captive of her and her consultants' belief that the country isn't ready for a female commander-in-chief who's not a hawk. Unfortunately, she's misreading the zeitgeist, Huffington believes. Democrats are fed up with fence straddling and triangulation, but that has become Clinton's brand. And she really concludes that the big power players in Washington, the David Geffens of this world, for example, have already declared for Barack Obama, and that many other Hollywood power brokers who are not ready to go public yet are making it known in private that they are ABH, anybody but Hillary, or anyone but Hillary, and all because they don't trust her to stand up for what's right or even to know anymore what is right. Now, it is, you know, there are a lot of aspects to this. Hillary is a woman, and if you're a woman, you got to do the Ginger Rogers deal, which is you have to do everything that Fred Astaire does, but you have to do it backwards and in high heels. So you have to be a million times better. Those of you who are women and who are in high places know that that's the truth. It has always been said, and certainly has been said in broadcasting, that women are the harshest critics of other women. Is that true, do you think? 349-1320. Is it that Hillary is a, you know, she's starchier than her husband. She doesn't have that same feel for people that he does. She's certainly a huge lightning rod, and particularly she's a lightning rod for men. But there are a lot of women who have a problem with Hillary. I think she probably would be a wonderful president. Anybody would be a better president than this dope we've got in there right now, who barely knows, who is just out of it. That guy is out of it. And in denial and in over his head and in a bad place and really hammered big time by the RAC study group. And we will discuss some of that as we continue in the next hour. But you have got Hillary, who will probably be a good president, but is probably not electable. And you have Barack Obama, who just galloped onto the scene from nowhere. She did all the right things. She was such a good girl. And he gallops onto the scene, and he's got a lot of magnetism. He's got a lot of charisma. There's a certain feeling of authenticity about him. Does he fake sincerity? He's not the lightning rod that she has been. And everybody's falling in love with him. Whether they're going to regret it or not down the line, I don't know. But what are your thoughts about Hillary? And what are your thoughts about Arianna Huffington's views of Hillary? And are they your views? 349-1320-866-626-1320. Hillary is telling people she's going to go for it. That's the reporting that we have. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Sunny it is, especially right now, actually. 64 we reached for the high. We are at 57 in the River City. Tomorrow we're going to see highs near 61. Traffic a little slow. We are seeing northbound Cap City Freeway all the way up, but right there at the exchange of eastbound 50, we have a three-car crash slowing things down. Southbound Cap City Freeway, J Street, that three-car crash is stopping traffic. In Watt Avenue and Winding Creek Road, we have a two-car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320. Sacramento's Left Channel.
They're slinging mud. We're slinging the truth.
Perhaps you should keep that in mind before making sensationalist claims.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly.
Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA four-diamond casino resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
Cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal internet, that is you and me.
You and me is that
got tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live, I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320. And we're talking about Arianna Huffington writing about Hillary. Is she too vain? And that's V-A-N-E, meaning too much of a weather vane, too much the way the wind is blowing to be president. And it looks to me like Arianna is no fan of Hillary's, that Hillary did all the right things. You know, she compromised herself in Arianna's view. And guess what? It doesn't matter. She did all the right things. She took all the right positions that were really perhaps not positions of her heart, what she thought would play with the American public. She was a good girl. And then galloping right into her face is Barack Obama, who has captivated everybody, and now everybody's in love with Barack Obama. And Arianna is suggesting that the big Hollywood political players are not going to support Hillary. Some have already come out for Barack, but some of them are ABH anybody but Hillary. What are your thoughts? Mike and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Hillary. Hi, Enid.
Hi, Mike.
How are you doing today?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to say I think it's really ironic that I used to disagree with practically anything that Arianna Huffington said and agreed with almost everything that Hillary Clinton said. And now it's exactly the opposite.
You know, you're right about that. Arianna Huffington has been called the Sir Edmund Hillary of social climbers. And what Ed Rollins, that Republican political consultant, said, he said she was, he really thought she was the worst of anybody he'd ever worked with, and that she was the brains behind her husband, and no one ever heard him talk while she was drinking a glass of water. I mean, he was really savage on her. And she is an opportunist. There is absolutely no question about it. But her blog, her website is great, and
Sacramento's Left Channel.
Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The leaders of the Iraq study group say the 79 recommendations are a comprehensive plan, and they're urging leaders in Washington not to pick and choose.
If you think you can solve the problem of Iraq by manipulating the troop levels, I think you got it dead wrong. If you think you can solve the problem by economic reconstruction or political action, I think that's wrong, too.
Co-Chairman Lee Hamilton and James Baker appeared before the Senate Armed Services Committee today, while President Bush met with British Prime Minister Tony Blair at the White House. Later, CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports they held a joint news conference.
There was no mistaking how much it irritated President Bush when a British reporter suggested he's in denial about how badly things are going in Iraq.
It's bad in Iraq. Can I help?
But did he accept the Iraq study group's description that the situation is grave and deteriorating?
Make no mistake about it. I understand how tough it is, sir. I talk to the families who die. I understand their sectarian violence.
And Mr. Bush insists the U.S. and its allies can and will prevail in Iraq. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
It seems likely the crew of Space Shuttle Discovery will not spend the night in orbit, but NASA hasn't given up yet. Let's get a live update from CBS News correspondent Peter King.
Bill, roll call time on Discovery came a little while ago.
CDR, line of clear.
BLT, MS-1, MS-2, MS-3,
MS-4, MS-5.
All seven astronauts aboard waiting to learn whether the weather will clear enough for them to start their 12-day mission to the International Space Station. Thick, low clouds here. Bad weather at the three emergency landing sites overseas could scrub the launch. Shuttle's in good shape, ready for the first nighttime launch in 4 years, hopefully in about an hour and a half. Live at the Kennedy Space Center, Peter King, CBS News.
Authorities in southern Oregon say James Kim died of exposure to the elements and hypothermia. His body was found yesterday, 4 days after he'd set out to help find help for his stranded family. CBS News correspondent John Blackstone reports Kim did have a plan.
He believed that he was trying to make his way toward a river that led to a town that he and his wife saw on a map. They studied the map, thought that the town was about 4 miles from where they were. In reality, the town was about 15 miles from where they were.
Officials say Kim walked about 10 miles before he died. His wife and children were rescued Monday. California Attorney General Bill Lockyer sued Hewlett-Packard, claiming the company engaged in unfair business practices when it tried to plug boardroom leaks. Today, HP agreed to a $14.5 million settlement. Lockyer says most of the money will fund investigations into violations of privacy and intellectual property rights. Today on Wall Street, the Dow fell 30 points to 12,278, the Nasdaq down 18 points to 2427, and the price of oil rose to $62.49 a barrel. This is CBS News.
The holidays are here, and Guitar Center is your one-stop destination for every musician on your gift list. Save 50, 60, up to 75% off. Plus, don't pay for a full year on total purchases of $299 or more. Great holiday deals like acoustic guitar packs from Fender, only $99. Casio portable keyboards, just $79. Plus, Guitar Center gift cards make the perfect stocking stuffer. Guitar Center's December deal days are going on now. Don't miss it. Now online at GuitarCenter.com.
Today's guest stylist is Laura. She's showing us the latest ways to spruce up for the holidays at Kohl's Incredible Christmas Sale. Laura?
The season calls for touches of silver and gold, so anything that shines is catching my eye. Look at these silver plates. They really say holiday magic.
Wow.
Then it's straight over to metallic tops to dress up any outfit.
Incredible savings await you at Kohl's Incredible Christmas Sale this Friday and Saturday. Find lowest prices of the season on Friday Night Owl and Saturday Early Bird Specials. Kohl's. Expect great things.
CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman was on hand when the Grammy nominations were announced in Los Angeles.
The five nominees for Record of the Year represent a wide range in music. R&B star Mary J. Blige is a nominee. Also up for Record of the Year is James Blunt. The hip-hop duo Gnarls Barkley is a nominee for Crazy. Smooth-singing British newcomer Corinne Bailey-Ray is a nominee for Put Your Records On. The final nominee is the Dixie Chicks. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
We'll find out who won on February 11th. It prevents unwanted pregnancy and freshens your breath. Drug maker Warner Chilcott is introducing a new chewable contraceptive called Femcon FE. It's an option for women who don't like to swallow pills. It's flavored with spearmint. I'm Bill Whitney. See time.
Five minutes after 5 o'clock, you're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live, 3 to 7 on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel. And remember, your homework assignment is to tell 3 to 5, 4 people. I settled on 4 people every day that we are here. A lot of people don't. It would be a great gift to people in this holiday season to let them know that 1320 is here, that Enid Live is here, that they can really have an authentic radio experience instead of the, you know, the canned stuff, the homogenized stuff, the faked out, tricked out stuff. And you can participate. It is a great conversation. And when more of you participate, the conversation is infinitely richer. And I want to encourage you, if you've never called a talk radio show before, and most of you have not, please consider doing it. It's not going to cost you anything. The worst that can happen is you stumble a little bit. You're going to be a little bit nervous. We're all a little bit nervous. I would be nervous, and you'll get over it immediately. And then you'll make your point, and you will have an effect on people one way or the other. They'll like what you say. They'll say, oh, my God, yeah, I didn't think of it that way. You'll have a fresh take on something. You will enlighten us and make us smarter, maybe. Maybe you'll just amuse us. We always love to be amused. 349-1320. It's completely free. There is a free lunch. Well, there is a free phone call on Enid Live, 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. You can email me, enid@kctc.com, and we stream live. So no matter where you are, if you go away for the holidays and you want to catch up on what we're doing here, you can do it. Just 1320, leftchannel.com, one word, 1320leftchannel.com. And you can always find us, and we are always here for you. So, if you are just tuning in, you've missed rather a lot. You've missed a great guest, and you've missed a wonderful discussion. I want to let you know where we've been today, that the CCPOA, California Correctional Peace Officers, the union, the prison guards, they're going to picket the B. They're calling it a B cut. And other McClatchy papers, they're going after McClatchy's advertisers, too. B's advertisers, in case the B has a lot of advertisers left. Well, they do, but their revenues are down. Because for an editorial in the B, they didn't like the editorial. And it was fairly mild. And I'll share it with you. Here's what they hate. They hated that the editorial in the B, which was entitled The Cloak of Victimhood, that the CCPOA portrays the guard's work life as one of unending suffering and victimization. The reality is that a California prison guard can go to work every day for 20 years and never break up a fight and never get assaulted. What makes the job so stressful and dangerous is uncertainty, the prospect that routine boredom could be broken at any time by violence. The union needs to get out of its current I am a victim, hear me whine mode. So is that so big a deal? Well, it is to the CCPOA, the prison guard union. They're going to picket the V on December the 22nd, and they're going to go after advertisers as well. And I think it's a blunt-edged instrument, if you want to know the truth, because if they really want better coverage, they could sit down with the editorial board. Maybe they've tried. They can flood the editorial pages with letters to the editor. They certainly have enough members. Or they could try to get a reporter interested in covering a day in the life of a prison guard. I'm sure it's been done, but it could be done again, and we can see what they go through. So your thoughts about that, 349-1320. And Arianna Huffington, who used to be a rock-ribbed Republican when it suited her purposes, is now a rock-ribbed Democrat because I think she can get more mileage out of it, has a website called HuffingtonPost.com, which I look at every day, and it's the number 6 in terms of hits, I think. She has written a piece in today's Los Angeles Times, Hillary is too vain, and that's V-A-N-E, as in weather vain, too vain to be president. And she thinks that Hillary is too vain because she's a follower rather than a leader, that she's misread the zeitgeist, that she's doing what her consultants tell her to do, so she'll moderate her stance on abortion and flag burning and a number of other issues, and that while she was busy being a good little girl, riding into her face and passing her up almost, not yet in terms of the numbers, but in terms of enthusiasm and in terms of charisma and in terms of everybody falling in love with him, is Barack Obama, whom your goddess has been talking about for quite a while. So and Ariana is saying that the big power players in Los Angeles, some have come out for a Barack, but most have not stated who they're going to support. And actually, we don't know yet who's running. But many of them feel like they want to support anybody but Hillary. So your thoughts about that? 349-1320. And I want to add to the conversation. First of all, my hat's off to the Dixie Chicks. I am thrilled that they have received Grammy nominations and in some really prominent categories. So the Dixie Chicks almost got their career Dixie Chicked because they said something. You know, I was watching CNN today, and I have to tell you, there whoever the reporter was talking about the Grammy nominations and mentioned the Dixie Chicks and said, quote, for their harsh treatment of President Bush, when we had just gone to war, and they said it, I think in London, I think they were in England when they said it, and I think the quote harsh criticism was nothing. It was just, so you know, we're from Texas too, and we're embarrassed by the president or something, or he's not, we're not all like that. I forget what it was, but it was very, very mild. But the fact that anybody had the temerity to say anything almost cost them a big hit to their career. And guess what? They are having the last laugh. So good for the Dixie Chicks. They are topping the Grammy nominations. There are a whole bunch of nominations, I think, that they received. So I'm really thrilled. I'm glad to see it. I'm glad to see that. Here it is. Dixie Chicks. Let's see. The Dixie Chicks apparently have won 8 Grammys and apparently are up for 3 of the top 4 awards. Dixie Chicks song Not Ready to Make Nice is up for Record and Song of the Year, plus Country Performance by a Group. Their 1.7 million selling disc, Take the Long Way, is up for Album of the Year and Country Album. So they're up. Album of the Year is a pretty prominent. That's good. So hats off to the Dixie Chicks. 349-1320, 866-626-1320, and a New Mexico man is drawing the ire of his neighbors and his homeowners association because what he put up was a sign, holiday lights, showing George Bush's name with that red bar, like don't park here, that red bar through it as though it's banning it. And it has caused, listen to this, in New Mexico, it has caused people to shoot at the projector, to try to pull out the bulb, even to threaten to blow up my house, the man says. He says he's proud of his message, and he defends the sign as tasteful. His neighborhood homeowners association, on the other hand, says it's against the rules and wants it to come down. And it may be that he's going to have to go to court on this, but some of his neighbors are furious. And it reminds us of the people in Colorado who had a Christmas wreath, and it was in the sign in the shape of a peace sign, and the neighbors and the homeowners association threatened to fine them $25 a day, and then the homeowners association were so embarrassed by all the publicity that they all resigned, and then more neighbors put up wreaths in the shape of peace signs. So you know what? What happened to the idea of free speech in this country? What happened to that idea? So if you put up an anti-Bush sign of some sort, people are shooting at your house? Explain this to me. 349-1320. This is what the divisiveness of this president and his stupidity and incompetence have wrought, I think. Kirk in Davis. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Kirk.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
I'm calling today because I listened to most of your segment, I think, on the correction officers, and I have no idea whether I think that it's a good strategy for the correction officers to be cat the bee or whatever you want to call it. But I do think that it's important to consider that the nature of a union is to complain. Whether it's complaining about unsafe working conditions.
Oh, I don't think the nature of a union is to complain. The nature of a union is to get better conditions for its workers. And there are lots of ways of doing it. If you want to complain, that's fine, but it might not cause the result that you're after. And if they want better coverage from the bee, they can pick it. They can try to go after the advertisers. But I don't know that that's going to bring them better coverage. If they want better coverage, and maybe a more direct way would be to sit down with the editorial board or to try to get some favorable coverage or to write letters to the editor or to do something along those lines.
Well, I think that you're absolutely right in terms of strategies for them in terms of dealing with getting better coverage from the Bee. But what my point is that the nature of a union is to complain about the conditions under which its workers are working.
The nature of a union is to get better conditions, and there are lots of ways of achieving that aim. And complaining might be one way, and doing good PR. What has the CCPOA done for the community? Does it do any kind of good community work so that it gets itself good public opinion or good PR?
Okay. Even if it does that, what's it going to do? Eventually, it's going to go to the bargaining table, okay, and it's going to try and get a new contract.
What's your larger point, Kirk?
My larger point is that it is extremely easy for people to paint unions as just complainers and whiners. I am a part of, you know, another union in the state of California that gets painted as whiners.
I am a big union supporter. I'm not painting the union I'm not painting all unions as whiners. But this one strikes me as thuggish in its mode of dealing with a problem that they are too thin-skinned to handle. These are tough guys. They're in a tough prisons, and they're so thin-skinned that a very mild B editorial has them picketing the joint. I think I'm just amazed at that.
Okay, well, let me throw out this idea to you. Okay, maybe the kind of person who would become a prison guard, okay, the kind of person who would become a corrections officer, maybe part of how they think of themselves is in direct opposition to being a complainer and a whiner.
Well, they can think of themselves in any way they want, but if they're acting like they're complainers and whiners and picketing is not disabusing anybody of that notion, then I think that they're acting defensively. In other words, I think that maybe the characterization of them by the Bee might have hit a nerve, and they're so afraid that it might be true that they're going to try to act the opposite, and in doing so, they only reinforce the idea that the Bee has put out there. That's what I think it could be happening here, Kirk. 349-1320, Ron in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ron. Ron?
Oh, hello.
Yeah, welcome.
Is that me? I hope my cell phone is not too fading in and out this evening. Good evening. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Thank you to the entire 1320 gang for having the courage to put some fresh air out there so we can get the real story, because the rest of the network sure don't want to do it. I'm calling very briefly in response to your call for comments about Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
And presidential runs, and I would personally vote for both of them. But I'm here to tell you.
Wait! You broke up. You would personally vote for whom?
Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton?
Okay.
Unfortunately, I'm here to tell you, if the Democratic Party puts both of these two up in 2008, we're going to lose terribly, because this right-wing nation will not elect a woman or a black man to a high office of that nature. They just won't do it. Maybe in two or three or four more terms, maybe. But right now, no.
You don't think it'll happen?
It would be the kiss of death. It would literally be the kiss of death.
All right, Ron, I thank you for the call. Is Ron right about that? Ron says that this is a nation not yet ready to elect a black man to the presidency. What about the vice presidency? Or a woman to the presidency? What about the vice presidency? What are your thoughts about that? 349-1320, 866-626-1320, and leave it to the right-wing New York Post to put on its cover, I can't believe this. Well, maybe Ron's right, and maybe there are a lot of people who are buy into publications like the New York Post. You have two monkeys on the cover, one with the face stripped in of James Baker, and the other one, I assume, is Lee Hamilton. I don't know his face as well. And the headline of the New York Post is "Surrender Monkeys: Iraq Panel Urges U.S. to Give Up." And if you listen to what we talked about yesterday, listening to Rush, or the minister of OxyContin, as I like to refer to him, Rush was calling, instead of the Iraq Study Group, he calls it the Iraq Surrender Group. So, you know, the Post takes a page out of Rush's book. And the front page of the New York Post depicts the two chairmen of the Iraq Study Group as, quote, surrender monkeys. I think they use that term, too. They called John Kerry that somewhere along the line. And other people, anybody who questioned anything to do with Iraq or, anyway, suggested that the bipartisan independent panel has urged the U.S. to, quote, give up and admit defeat in the war in Iraq. The face of James Baker, former chief of staff for President Reagan, who led President Bush's recount fight in Florida 6 years ago, and former Democratic Congressman Lee Hamilton, who also served as vice chair for the 9/11 commission, were photoshopped onto the bodies of monkeys. This isn't the first time that the Post has monkeyed around with nature to make a political statement on behalf, you know, pimps for the Bush administration. In February of 2003, just weeks before the invasion of Iraq, the New York Post depicted the French and German representatives of the U.S. as half men, half weasels. The front page came out 1 month after outgoing Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld apologized to the two countries for referring to them as the access of weasels because of their staunch opposition to the war at that time. The Iraq Study Group report delivered to President Bush yesterday contains 79 separate recommendations, but not one explains how American forces can defeat the terrorist insurgents, only ways to bring the troops home. Well, let me tell you something. I think the most damning part of the report that was released yesterday is how badly it paints Bush and this administration. And here are some really solid citizens. You've got Sandra Day O'Connor. You've got all kinds of really solid people. And they are standing there and they're saying this is horrible. They're using the worst terms to describe the terms that the press never had the balls to use. And they are using those terms. And I don't think it makes Dickey look really good. You can comment if you're a Republican, if you are a conservative. I'd like to hear from you. 349-1320, 866-620-6320. And if you disagree with what the Iraq Study Group is recommending, if you've got a better idea, I think we'd all like to hear it. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa Webb.
Thank you very much. Precipitation we are going to see through this weekend, tomorrow starting. Tonight, lows 37, highs coming up tomorrow right around 61. Now, our traffic slowing things down southbound 99, a little past Fruit Ridge Road, Madison Avenue, and it looks like Kenneth Avenue. There's a three-car crash over there. Folsom Boulevard at Norcade, southbound I-5 just north of Settleville Road, and Auburn Boulevard at Norris Avenue, two-car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
It's Enid Live, doing full frontal talk radio, AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
I can't wait to hear the rest of the show.
How would you like to...
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next, burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320. Talk to Enid now,
4:45 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about the prison guards who want to picket the bee because they don't like the editorials, and there's a better way of doing it, I think a more effective way of doing it. We're talking about Ariana's piece in today's Los Angeles Times. It is a takeoff of what she did a couple of days ago on her own website, Huffington Post, where she talked about Hillary being the good little girl, doing everything her consultants tell her, moderating her own real positions, not following her heart, and trying to appeal to as many people as possible because she doesn't think the country's ready for a female commander-in-chief who's not a hawk. And then gallops along Barack Obama, and he is, everybody's falling in love with Barack Obama, and Hillary, who tried to play by the rules, is sort of being sidelined, although not really. Her numbers are still better than his, and she still has more money than he does. We're also talking about the New York Post. Surrender monkeys is what the right wing is calling the two heads, bipartisan heads of the Iraq study group, as though, you know, these people were so rabidly in favor of a war that was so preposterous to begin with. And now, when very high-level people have come to the fore to say, look, this is dire, this is horrible, this isn't working, we are losing, we're not winning, this is a mess, this is deteriorating, the situation is grave, it's hideous, they don't want to hear it. So, shoot the messenger is what it's all about. 349-1320, 866-626-1320, Cardell and Sack. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid, how you doing?
Doing well.
I was just calling about this Barack Obama thing, and you know, I want to say that I'm an African-American male, and I would love nothing than to see a fellow person of my ilk be president. But more importantly, I want the Democrats to win this election. And I just have a hard time seeing how, you know, middle-class white people in Iowa are going to vote for a guy named Barack Obama. I'm sorry.
Well, middle-class people in Illinois elected him.
Yeah, but that's, you know, it's a different place. I mean, that's the lunatic fringe of this party, and you know, we have to have a more centrist approach, and we've worked all this time to get Hillary in a position. I remember, you know, when her husband left, people said that, you know, they'd never elect a woman. Now we're saying we can, and we're going to do all that work and just dump it at the altar. I mean, and plus, also, I'd rather have someone that can change with some veins. You know, look at this guy we've had. He hasn't been much of a vein, so I'd rather have a vein.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I mean,
also, another thing, I think, you know, I hate to bring it down to race, but this is like Jimi Hendrix all over again. This is like white intellectualism that will not reach into the black community. He's a first-year senator that has no history as a black leader. You know, not that, you know, I wouldn't.
So are you telling me then the country won't elect somebody who is a woman or is black? And if he is black, the country, the black community might not elect him because he's not sufficiently black.
Well, you know, he doesn't have, you know, to me, one of the problems with black Americans is we've only sort of had Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson speak for us. I don't know what, you know, Barack Obama has to offer because of the, you know, the monolith of those two guys. Potentially he could be, you know, a whole lot greater, you know, but the thing about it is I don't want us to become cartoonish in the end to where this puts us further back from getting elected, you know, because no one, I mean, you really, you know, this is a lunatic fringe kind of concept that, you know, I mean, in the idealistic sense would be wonderful, but in the practical sense, I want my kids' school to be better. I want these Republicans out of here, you know, and, you know, they're already redding up McCain. They're going to have a centrist type of candidate.
Cardell, I thank you for calling. Excellent point. 349-1320. What do you think about what Cardell had to say? We're talking about Hillary. We're talking about Barack. And in Los Angeles, apparently there are a lot of people who believe that they will support anybody but Hillary. Oh, and guess what? There was an event, a Christmas event at the White House, and three women plus Laura all had the same dress on. Three women had the same dress on as Laura. And this is an $8,500 dress. Now, Laura might not have paid $8,500 for it because as First Lady, these designers want to offer their wares so that they can get the publicity. But I bet those other three women were $8,500 and everybody was dressed the same. Can you believe that? I once wrote a piece about this. It's like you put on this uniform that you've spent five figures for to let everybody know that you can spend five figures on an outfit. Well, not quite. It's four here, according to the paper. But so the idea that you can spend all this money and look unique, the idea is not to look unique. The idea is to let the universe know that you paid X amount of dollars and everybody can dress the same. I think it's preposterous. 349-1320. Okay. Hillary, Barack, what are your thoughts? Rick in Rockland. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, hi there. I don't believe that Hillary nor Obama can be elected. And if the Democrats do this again like they did with Phil Angelides, we're not going to win. And they constantly keep putting up these people that just can't win.
Why is the reason that Hillary can't win she's a woman, or because she goes which way the wind blows?
No, I think because she's a woman, number one, and Obama because he's black. And our sellout Democrats, you know, those sellout Democrats that went for Schwarzenegger again and went for Bush and on and on and on, they're not going to vote for those two people. And it seems to me like our party just cannot get it together and get somebody that can win. It blows my mind.
I hope you're wrong about that, but you might not be.
But
Rick,
you know darn well I'm not, Enid.
I thank you for calling. 349-1320. We have a line open. Tori and Sack. Hi, you're live with Enid.
How are you?
I'm good, Tori.
I've been listening, and basically I think it's coming down to race and sex. It sounds like, oh, Barack Obama can't win, but we need more of someone that's going to work for the working class in office as opposed to someone that's standing up for the haves and has more. We need less of that. And if you take everything out of it, like race and sex, those two people, yeah, it would be hard to pick, to choose from the both of them, but I believe that Barack Obama as a senator would be an excellent president. The man is articulate, he's smart, he knows what's going on, he's hands-on, and he...
There's something extremely likable about him. I've always liked him. I hope he lives up to my liking him, but I've always liked him.
Absolutely. When I saw him on TV last night, it just seems like he's more articulate. He knows exactly what's going on. I saw him when he was in Virginia, when they were having the congressional races. And it just seems like when it comes down to the working class, the people that are basically being ignored, he would be the one, or Hillary Clinton would be the one. And these people they're taking what they can offer out of it and putting it solely on, black.
All right, so
they're not going to elect him, he's black.
Is Hillary electable, Tori? Is Hillary electable?
I believe so, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, cuz I don't know that I agree with you on that one, but I do thank you for calling. 349-1320, it opens up one line. Paul in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Enid, how are you?
Good.
Have you read The Audacity of Hope?
I have not, but it's on the bestseller list.
Well, I don't care about that. If you read that, you'll realize that he will never disappoint you.
What part of it, what is it about the book?
What was compelling to me was the way he would talk about his wife and his children, and then it was so authentic. And then what he did for his state, how he would travel the state with his detail man, and he would go to the tiny hamlets in the Midwest, and he would go to the sprawling cities, and he just really was concerned about it. His base. And I just go back to the idea that he's very authentic. He desperately cares about all Americans. And I don't think that at any time would you find that he would pander to any group. He's the real deal.
Chris, I thank you very much. I'll look at the book. Paul, sorry, 349-1320, 866-620-6-1320. Nick in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Enid.
Welcome.
I'm just gonna give you my comments, and I'll take your response off the air.
Okay.
You know, take everyone can take race out of the equation if they want for Obama. Last time I checked, he has passed one piece of legislation for his state, and that was a website. And I just wanted to drop that in.
So you're saying he really hasn't done anything. Is that what you're saying? Well, that was it. Okay. I think what he's saying is he hasn't done anything. Well, he's a freshman senator, but is that a valid criticism? Sandy and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Sandy.
Hi.
Welcome.
I'm in Stockton.
Oh, okay.
But I have so many comments on it. It's unreal. I'm going to try and narrow it down. I love Obama and Hillary. I don't think that Hillary is going to be as electable as Obama. I wish they'd run for President Obama, Vice President Hillary. I don't think that would go. But what I wish, and wish it had been done 6 years ago, I think as a federal employee, the president is, that there should be civil service testing and psych testing before you can get into government. To get just a petty job for a county, you have to go through that.
Wait, what kind of testing? Civil service testing? How about drug testing for our president?
Drug testing? I want a psych test done.
A what test?
Psychology.
Oh, a psych test. Okay,
yes.
Gotcha.
I mean, if you have to have that for a petty Annie job for a county.
I once had to take a drug test to do talk radio. I couldn't believe it. I mean, what if Rush had to take? What if the minister of OxyContin had to take a drug test?
Exactly. The other thing, which you, I've been wanting to call you for days, the only time I can hear you is in the car. But the other thing is I wanted to point out, ask you, because you are so talented and have resources, I am curious as to, I realize there must be a salary written down someplace on what a senator and a congressman makes. I'd like to know what it is for the year. Have somebody break it down to working 3 days a week. Let's give them 24 hours.
I can tell you what a congressman makes, and I think a senator is in the same ballpark. But we can.
Okay, but what I
we can look that up. But a congressman makes about $165,000 and change, and a senator makes roughly the same, maybe a little bit more. I'm not sure exactly. But
well, what I would like somebody to do and get out on the radio is then you break it down to them going to work on Tuesday and leaving on Thursday. And figure out how much they're making an hour, and then point out these are the same people that didn't want to raise the minimum wage.
Yeah, they didn't want to know, but they've raised their own salaries about 30% in the last little while.
And they're working less than 24 hours a week.
Not only that, they couldn't wait to talk about cut and run. The Republican-dominated Congress has dumped everything it can into the Democrats' lap. It has not finished the spending bills that it was supposed to be doing. It's just running away like a bunch of cowards.
Did you watch this session this morning?
No, I didn't.
Okay, what they're getting up, do you know what their last-ditch things are? Number one, they did a pass it against the Democratic.
They did a what?
They were combining the bills where they can just do it and not give the congressmen time to even read what they were going to be voting on.
Okay.
And it passed because, of course, there was more Republicans. And as they're giving up in their last-ditch efforts to do their work, I cannot tell you how many of them stood up and spent our time congratulating basketball teams and coaches.
I'm going to give
one
you
right after the next.
All right, I'm going to give you the number for senator. We need to take a break, Sandy. But I'm delighted that you called. The salary of a senator is $165,200, and I believe that's also the salary of a representative. I think they're about the same. So,
well, one of these days I'm going to work it out and I'll call you.
Work it out and then tell me, and we'll all get sick together. I thank you for the call. 349 opens up a line. 349-1320 866-620-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you so much, Enid. Some sprinkles we are going to see this weekend. I'm kind of excited for them, actually. I really want snow, but I know, don't be mad. I'm needing snow. I'll just drive to the snow. South Bend 99, just north of 12th Avenue, we have a two-car crash. Southbound 95, just south of Sutterville Road, it looks like there's a disabled vehicle on the right-hand side. And South Bend 99 at Consumnis River College Drive, we have a two-car crash. Emergency vehicles are blocking the lane over there. North Bend I-5, just north of Laguna Boulevard, it looks like the same. And Bernie Way at Howe Avenue, our hit and run with injuries has caused a traffic jam right there. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
She's not right, but she's never wrong. Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area. So stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and, of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate. It's a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's terror. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now... I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to hallswindowcenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpots. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Talk to Enid now,
349-1320.
up to Iowa. Giddy up to New Hampshire. Giddy up, Hillary. Giddy up, Obama. Who's going to win? Is anybody electable in this? Among those two, many of you think that America is not ready to elect a woman or a black man. And Arianna Huffington in today's Los Angeles Times says anybody but Hillary, because she thinks she's vain. Oh, so vain. You're so vain. V-A-N-E, like a weather vane. She blows which way the wind is going or which way her consultants tell her will get her the maximum votes rather than the way that is the right way, the way she believes in her heart. Is she electable? I think she's not electable. I've long thought that, even though she might have higher approval ratings than everybody else. And she did all the right thing, and now galloping into the picture is Barack Obama. He's got magic. He's got charisma. I've liked him from the start. For the last year. If anybody asks me who should be president, I keep saying, well, what about Barack Obama? He's pretty good. 3, 4, 9. Well, I'm not going to give the numbers because the lines are full. They'll open up. And then you can weigh in on Hillary, Barack, or who, and who is the opposition going to be? Is it going to be John McCain? It's not going to be Rudy Giuliani. That man is dreaming. He's not electable either. Stephen and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid.
Yes, good evening. I wanted to weigh in on the conversation. I think some of your callers are quite correct as far as the perception of the American people. Are they ready for an African-American? I don't think so. Are they ready for a woman? I don't think so either. So like you said, what are we going to do? Who are they going to put forward from the so-called Democratic Party? That is going to be the test of time to say what's really going on in this country. Who are they going to run?
Gary Vilsack has thrown his hat in the ring. It's not going to be him. It's not going to be Joe Biden. Is it going to be John Edwards? It's not going to be John Kerry, I don't think, unless some magic transformation happens and everybody gets amnesia at once.
I'm just amazed if this country can elect a C-minus student as such as a George Bush and put him in office. I mean, what's wrong with a Barack Obama? What's wrong with a Hillary?
Barack Obama would be great, and I think Hillary would probably be a very fine president.
I think this country needs a wake-up call. They don't think they've dealt with the issue of race. I do not think they've dealt with the issue of isms of either being a woman. So I don't know how we move this forward. I would love to see it, but I don't think I'm going to see this in my lifetime, and I'm 40.
Well, I hope you're wrong, Stephen. I really hope you're wrong about that. 349-1320 opens up a line. Chris and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guy, how's it going?
Good, good.
Hey, Enid, this Hillary issue is very near and dear to my heart. I feel very, very passionate about her, and I believe that she's very, very astute politically. And you say that she's blowing the wind. I say she's doing what it takes to get elected. You cannot make a difference in this country in politics unless you get elected. And she is doing what it takes to get elected. I believe that if Bill Clinton, if the Constitution were changed and Bill Clinton were allowed to run for president in the next election, he'd probably get 60% of the majority of the vote. And Hillary is not as charismatic as her husband, but with him standing next to her strategically during the campaign, that's 40% of the vote.
That doesn't take away from her. He stayed out of the picture when she ran for Senate because they thought it was not going to work to her benefit.
He still made appearances strategically.
But you're saying something really right. But also, if Barack triangulated like Hillary does, because he's more likable to people, because she's more of a lightning rod, he would get away with it. If Bill did the same thing as Hillary, and probably has, he would get away with it because there's something, when people like other people, they cut him way more slack. And for some reason, people are a little bit wary of Hillary. For many people, she's a lightning rod. For other people, they find her, when the two of them stand together, she's starchier. He's way easier with people. If you remember the joint talk they gave at Coretta King's funeral, Coretta Scott King's funeral, he was easy. He just knew, it looked like he was making it up as he went along. She was starchier. Even though people who know her say she's warm and easy in private, she doesn't have that same gift, that same charisma that he has in public.
I believe that she's not had a chance to completely come out yet. And when the campaign really starts, when she gets out there about a year from
now, but I think we've already...
You're going to see her come out, and I believe she'll win in the largest majority in the history of the United States.
Well,
really,
Chris, we'll see if that happens. I thank you for the call. I mean, I think people have already formed an opinion about her. She's been in the public eye for a long time. We have a line open, 349-1320. John in Folsom, hi. You're live with Enid. Hi, John.
Hi, Enid. I just have a couple points. I'm not exactly sure if she's electable, but I believe that it could be exactly what this country needs, because any man can run a house, but everybody knows it takes a woman to make it a home. And
well, it takes a madam to make it a house, yes.
Right, and the prison thing, Enid, maybe, why don't you go spend a day there and come back at 3 and tell us what's going on.
Thank you, John. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Gail, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Gail.
Hey there, good buddy. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Got a couple, and these are a little off topic, but just let me blast through them real quick, okay? First of all, we need a lawyer, because I don't know how to, Germany has...
Wait a minute, we got to do it quickly, because we have to take a break. So you're saying we need to have a lawyer as president?
To find out what would it take to have him tried in the world court. If he is impeached here, he'll get out of it. And he also, very quickly here, he has just recently bought quite a bit of land.
Yes, we know. Dickie has, the president. Okay. All right.
I think he's going to run like a scared jackrabbit.
Well, we can't extradite him. All right, Gail, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320-866-2613-20. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Traffic moving nice and slow there, Enid, and South Bend 99 just north of 12th Avenue. It looks like we do have a Consumnis River College Drive. There's a three-car crash. No injuries, but our emergency vehicles are blocking the lane. Westbound 50 at Fresh Pond and eastbound Eureka Road at Sierra College Boulevard. There's a three-car crash there. Otherwise, our streets of Sacramento is looking pretty good. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
I'm just going to say right now what we're not saying.
She's not right.
And let the chips fall.
But she's never wrong.
Let the chips fall. Let the chips fall where they may.
Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
About gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the 3 blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it, because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence. Great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $100. $750. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
Started having
the morning retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it,
Miss Romney,
what drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was? It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott! It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live, 3 to 7 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We're talking about Hillary or Obama. And the reason we're talking about it, Arianna Huffington has a piece in the Los Angeles Times today. She said, in Hollywood, it's anybody but Hillary. She thinks Hillary goes the way the wind blows, and she thinks Barack Obama is the man. Are either electable? Many of you have said, well, is the country going to elect a woman? You don't think so, and you don't think the country's ready to elect a black man. I think Barack Obama's electable, actually. Rob in Sac, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Rob.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm really interested. I tend to disagree with you most of the time, but I think I find myself agreeing with you an awful lot with regard to Hillary. She may be bright, articulate, and all of that, but I think that she is a poll taker and looks to see where she can position herself best. And I think also that
launch team at this time.
But weather has been a problem. NASA hoping for low, thick clouds to dissipate here and for skies to improve at the shuttle's overseas emergency landing sites. It's looking better now, but this one could go right down to the wire with launch planned in 35 minutes. I'm Peter King at the Kennedy Space Center. Now with more CBS News, here's Bill Whitney.
President Bush bristled at today's news conference when a reporter asked if he's in denial about the situation in Iraq. He said he knows it's bad.
I've been saying a lot. I understand how tough it is, and I've been telling the American people how tough it is, and they know how tough it is.
The president disputed the Iraq study group's conclusion that time is running out in Iraq. He said we're going to succeed. More from CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod.
Mr. Bush is now awaiting two in-house reviews that he hopes will let him craft his own new plan, rather than seeming to simply adopt the Baker proposals wholesale.
I don't think Jim Baker and Lee Hamilton expect us to accept every recommendation.
Testifying this morning on Capitol Hill, Jim Baker did not appear to agree.
I hope we don't treat this like a fruit salad and say, I like this, but I don't like that. This is a comprehensive strategy.
The president said today he's going to give a speech to spell out his new way forward. Aides won't say when that speech will be, only that sometime before the end of the year would be logical.
Ameren, the power company that serves Missouri and Illinois, says it hopes to have everyone back online tomorrow. Tens of thousands of homes have been without electricity since the big storm, and KMOX Radio's Berta Collins reports some angry customers have started to take it out on the repair crews.
The St. Clair County Sheriff says some Ameren linesmen have experienced harassment while repairing the extensive damage from last week's ice storm.
People driving by and hollering insults and calling them names and all kinds of crazy things.
Merle Justice says, well, he wouldn't term those threats exactly. As a precaution, his department has been providing security for the linesmen, standing by while they work. Berta Collins, CBS News, East St. Louis, Illinois.
They are not cooking with gas at nine major hotels in Las Vegas, and that's a big problem. A gas line that supplies the Bellagio, the Luxor, Mandalay Bay, and others ruptured last night. Repairs are underway, but for now there are no hot meals and no hot showers. A new maximum security prison is open for business at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, and the first inmates have arrived from the detention camp that was hastily constructed after 9/11. The U.S. military says 42 detainees have moved into the new prison, designed to limit contact among inmates and prevent attacks on guards. The Dow down 30 points. This is CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right, act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas' newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 877-33-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 877-33-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 877-33-GO-WIN. Call now.
Reassurance from a panel of experts for about 3 million Americans who have drug-coated stents keeping their arteries open. CBS News medical correspondent Dr. John LaPook explains.
Unlike bare metal stents, these stents are coated with a medicine that helps prevent arteries from re-narrowing. However, studies have shown a small risk of blood clots forming inside the devices. About 800,000 Americans a year receive the stents, so even a small risk can translate into serious problems for a significant number of patients.
But today's report from the panel says the benefits of coated stents outweigh the risks. The Indonesian edition of Playboy is far tamer than its American counterpart, but even a toned-down Playboy might be too much for that predominantly Muslim country. The editor-in-chief of Playboy Indonesia is on trial for publishing indecent material. The prosecutor told the court about revealing pictures of women in underwear who had inviting expressions on their faces. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
The truth applied daily.
We'll be right back.
6:06, 6 minutes after 6 o'clock. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel, 3 to 7, Mondays through Fridays right here. And you can always join the conversation, and it is always, we always try anyway, to have a wonderful conversation. And the more of you who join it, the better the conversation gets, if you've noticed. 349-1320, all numbers to Enid Live are completely toll-free. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We stream live, 1320leftchannel.com, and you can email me at enid@kctc.com, enid@kctc.com. We've been talking in the last hour, we've been talking about Arianna Huffington's piece in the Los Angeles Times today about how she thinks Hillary Clinton is vain, and she means V-A-N-E, she means she goes which way the weather vane or the wind blows with all these consultants, and she's been such a good girl, and then riding into the scene, onto the scene, is Barack Obama, a man filled with charisma, and everybody's falling in love with him. And a lot of the big players in Hollywood don't want to support Hillary, anybody but Hillary, but they want to support Barack, and they're going to wait and see who's going to be the candidate. And we've been talking about that. And a part of the conversation has been that a lot of you have called in to say that you don't think the country is ready to elect a woman and may not be ready to elect a black man. I think that Barack Obama has a better chance of being elected in that respect than Hillary does. That's just my thought. And I think a lot of whites are going to bend over backwards to seem not racist, even if they are. 349-1320. Now, I want to add to our conversation, because I know the people who listen to Enid Live are readers. If you're listening to talk radio, you read. You care about the language. You care about the spoken word, the written word. You care about books. You care about libraries. I know you do. And you even care about newspapers, even though nobody under 35 is reading a daily newspaper anymore, except maybe online. There is an online journal, and it is fighting for clear, expressive English. And let's look around at how the language is getting as inflated as Arnold on steroids, or Schnorzi. Why, for example, this is a question being asked, do we need the word icon, to describe hugely successful performers in show business, sports, and elsewhere? We began with star, and then we supersized it to superstar, and then when there were too many superstars floating around, we turned it into an icon. And we're doing that all the time with the language, often inflating the language. And if you've noticed, there are doesn't exist anymore. Everything is theirs. There's no agreement between subject and how you say object. Is that, have I said that right? I can't remember the terms anymore, but I just remember how to do it, kind of. But it's fading fast because nobody cares about the grammar and nobody cares about the language. 349-1320, and everybody, and the argument that's being made here is that if you're imprecise in your language, you are imprecise in your thinking. Now, is that a fair correlation to... There is a magazine called The Vocabulary Review. It has two mottos. A society is generally as lax as its language. Is that true? English teachers out there, you know, we're going to have the language patrol citing people with, possibility of going to the pokey without possibility of parole if this degenerative usage continues. And yet I love the richness of the language when people alter things and add to it, and it doesn't, you know, I'm not stiff in that way, but it's nice to observe the rules, or maybe it's not. Maybe who cares about the rules? I mean, what's spelling after all? But we've decided that things, you know, we've decided that this is the way it's supposed to be. Well, I guess we can undecide it too. But the Vocabulary Review, which is a journal that cares about language, it has two mottos. One of its mottos is, a society is generally as lax as its language. Is that true, do you think? Is that true? And well-spoken is half-sung, which I'm not sure what that means. Well-spoken is half-sung. Honest language is elegant language. That part is true. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I want to talk about the language as well as the chances that Hillary and Barack have winning the next election. Aaron in Elk Grove, thanks for staying with us. You're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Aaron.
No problem. I want to weigh in definitely on both issues if you have the time.
Sure.
Okay, first of all, I 100% agree with you that Barack Obama is much more electable than Hillary, and I have a couple of reasons for that. But before I go into that, I want to say that we cannot call Barack Obama white as easily as we can call him black. And unfortunately, that's just the way the world is.
Why? Because he appears to be black?
Because he appears to be black, exactly. Because you can tell that he's of mixed heritage. He is half white. And I have a mixed.
Can I tell you, if you're Jewish, it goes by what your mom is. If your mother is Jewish, you're Jewish. And if your dad is Jewish, but your mother isn't, you're not considered really Jewish in the religion.
I think
the thinking was, you know, you never know who the father is, but you know who the mother is. I think that's the thinking.
That's good stuff. Well, in either case, I just had to disagree with you on that little point. But when it comes to black people, it is just the way it is. And I teach my son that. He's half black. And actually, in my own heritage, several generations back, the people who looked white were told to mix with white people and were considered white. And the people that looked black were considered black and told to mix with black people. And so here I am as a white person today with the black heritage. You'd never know it. But my son is quite obviously half black, and I teach him that society will always view you as a black man, and so you must understand the world as a black man. So moving on from that and on to the Barack Obama thing, I think he is electable, and I'll tell you why. Well, I'll ask you if you agree with me on this, because okay. I would love to have your opinion. Not only will the white voters not want to seem racist and say, oh, yes, I'm so great, I voted for a black man, but also... Isn't the bigger problem in our society right now why somebody like George Bush gets elected is because of all the people that aren't voting, all the black people in the southern states?
I'm glad you brought up George Bush. I think one of the reasons, I mean, without looking at the numbers and digesting the numbers and who voted and who didn't and how many mm-hmm. independents went way and Democrats who went Republican, mm-hmm. I would say that fundamentally he got elected because people liked him. He seemed like Mr. Nice Guy, unpretentious. He's completely incompetent to do the job. But people base their vote very often on whether they like somebody. And I think Barack Obama is immensely likable. He's got that magic.
I do agree with you on that, but the thing is with George Bush is that it's his constituents and the people who pay attention to politics really that voted for him, and a few of the people that he knew how to appeal to, some of the white people in the southern states, it's like, oh yeah, go Christianity or whatever. But now you have this huge population of, first of all, pop culture is extremely influenced by black American culture. So you have a whole host of young people who don't vote, and you have a whole host of black people, especially in the southern states, that do not vote, that a Barack Obama would draw them out. He would draw out that vote. Like, people wouldn't even care about the issues. Unfortunately, they wouldn't care about the issues that he's talking about, but they would just say, hey, a black presidential candidate, yes, let's vote him in. The young people and the black people will vote him in.
Okay, so bottom line, Aaron, you think he's very electable.
100%. And then as far as the language issue that you got going here, vocabulary.
Yeah.
The only thing that I really disagree on is that if you say something not using the right verbiage or whatever, that doesn't necessarily mean that your thinking is wrong. It's unfortunate that you didn't know how to come up with the right words or the right grammar. But that doesn't mean your thinking is wrong.
So it doesn't mean if your language is lax, it doesn't correlate to lax thinking. That's what you're saying.
I don't think it correlates to lax thinking, but certainly.
Here's the motto of this language publication: a society is generally as lax as its language. And remember, all of our teachers told us don't swear all the time because it's just an easy way not to develop language muscles, and you just use the same five words all over the place. Aaron, I thank you for the call. You know, I knew somebody who got through life, and all he could say is, I'm hip, it's cool, and one other thing. And that was his whole conversation. He didn't really, you know, language skills were apparently not necessary for him. Byron and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Byron.
Hi, how you doing? Fuzzing
good.
A little bit here. I wanted to comment a little bit on the Arianna Huffington article and listening to your last caller on there. I would disagree. I don't think he is electable. I think he's got a better shot than Hillary does because she's got horrible negatives, but she's basically Joe Lieberman in a dress. I don't think she's going to go anywhere.
That's a good decision.
And the problem with Obama is I just don't think he's proven enough. The problem is race will be the focus. And in the South, It's not enough to get you elected, but it's enough to keep you from getting
elected.
Well,
I'm going to tell you, you've got the likes of Karl Rove, and they're going to mow him over every way they can, just like they tried to do with John McCain. But let's look at the picture for a moment. Who do you think the Republican challenger will be, the most viable Republican in the picture right now? Who would that be?
The most viable Republican?
Yeah, who would be his if Barack actually survived the process and was a candidate? Who would he be up against?
Probably, I mean, if things go as they are now, probably McCain, unless the conservatives really take over the process and are able to steer a more conservative candidate in. But it'll probably be McCain.
All right, so looking at Barack and McCain, what do you see?
I see what's going to happen is Barack is new and young and exciting but inexperienced, and he's going to get hammered on that. He's going to get hammered on race. He's going to get hammered on not having national stature. And foreign policy
experience, and will probably still be a lot of Iraq that we'll have to be dealing with.
Right, right. I mean, it's not enough to come in and be a fresh face. You've also got to have enough armor that you can withstand whatever attacks are going to get thrown at you. And I'm not sure that he's going to be perceived.
All right, look at Dickey vis-a-vis Al Gore. Look at Dickey vis-a-vis John Kerry. I mean, anybody knew more than Dickey did, but Dickey was able to pull it off, and he was able to pull it off because he had a base that he played to, and because he seemed very likable. It's not impossible.
No, it's not, and that's what depends. I don't think we know at this point what kind of a base he really has.
Byron, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. John in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
This is a subject I'm really passionate about. I'm so excited to be able to talk to you about it. I've thought about this a lot. I'm a civil rights lawyer and have been practicing politics since the 60s. So I've been actually used to be a campaign manager and love to think about these things. But I came up with a thought about what new era we're about to enter in 2008. It really is a turning point, and after watching the Bobby movie, it got me thinking, you know, almost emotionally about it again, how this is an opportunity to make a change. And I think that George Bush's presidency has actually set the stage for it by creating such a low that the public possibly could be ready for something really different in 2008, just as they, I believe, were in 1968 with Bobby. But the three things that the Democrats need to do is excite the base or passion for change. And I think the previous callers, the woman, Erin, her comment, I didn't know if it got through, if you understood what she was trying to say, but she's talking about increasing turnout. And Barack Obama will clearly be able to do that. I think Hillary would also create a passion in the base. The second thing is to appeal to the reasonable independents, and we saw this in the last election. Things were getting so bad under Bush that many of the moderate independents were moving the Democratic way, and I think that's what Hillary's been trying to do. And I don't think that Arianna Huffington's article is really that fair to her. I think she has the right to move. I believe that Hillary's attitude that looks as though she's blowing with the wind is mostly comes from the fact that she was in the White House for so long. And I think she is very careful about it.
Well, because her stance on moderating, her stance on abortion, for example, the flag-burning thing, supporting the president when he wanted to go in Iraq, she did not take a contrary position when he wanted to authorize being able to go into Iraq, for example.
What did she do on abortion? I didn't even hear about that one.
I'm trying to remember. It was some way that it supported disappointed a lot of her supporters because she was trying to have it both ways. She was saying, well, we need some controls, but we do want to. A woman should choose, but you know.
Right, and I probably would agree with. I love Arianna Huffington, but I think that
Arianna Huffington. When you said Arianna Huffington was hard on Hillary, you're right. And Arianna Huffington, you know, for all the success of the Huffington Post, has been trying to get herself out there for a long time, and she's now found a vehicle for doing it. So if you have to factor that into the equation, that how much of this is about getting press for Arianna. At Hillary's expense, which Arianna will be very happy to do, I think.
I think that's what everyone in the media tries to do, but I don't hold that against her either. I just don't blame her for trying to appeal to the center a little bit, as long as the issue. I think that the most important issue to me that I've been disappointed in Clinton is her attitude toward the war, but I think that's related more to her having been in the White House. She's probably more conservative about attacking an administration. The third thing that has to be done, though, is we have to take advantage of this new movement in the religious, which has always been the religious right, where there clearly has been a movement toward the environmental issues, toward poverty issues, and to try to break off even 10-15% of that vote. And if you did all those three things, we could beat the Republicans. Now, I don't think...
Well, the religious, what was called the religious right, or I like to call the religious wrong, is moving to a more centrist position.
Yes, a few of them are.
Yeah, some of them. Some of them.
Someone that can appeal to that is the point. We need someone that can really speak to them and move those over. We're never going to get to the religious
right. All right, so bottom line, will Barack or Hillary...
I think you start with your first question was who will be the Republican, and I don't think there's any question it will be McCain. Unless something occurs, he's going to be the toughest one to beat as well. He seems presidential to most people. He has the image of being courageous, and I don't agree with the previous caller who says that some conservative will beat him because he's about as conservative as they come recently. He has certainly some credentials in some areas that are moderate or liberal, but very few. He is going to appeal very well to the conservative base, but he'll also cross over to the Democrats. So we have to have an incredibly strong candidate this year to do all those.
All right, if you were looking at the Democratic field besides Barack and Hillary, who do you think is really strong right now?
Well, first of all, it's a question of whether Barack will run. If he runs, I think he will overwhelm everyone, including Hillary, although she'll fight to the end. I think it'll be between the two of them. But if he doesn't run, it'll be Edwards. There isn't any other candidate that really has a chance except Gore, who I don't believe will run. So I think we're talking about Barack Obama winning the Democratic nomination if he runs, because if you look at the three things we must do, he's extremely strong in all three, exciting the base, taking advantage of this religious movement, and he sounds modern.
Yeah, he's great, and he's great. There's even a great magic that he has, but will they hammer him? They will hammer him in any way that they can, and his lack of his foreign policy experience. But he's smart. He's good at comebacks.
Yeah, and I disagree that gender or race will have any part in this negatively for either of them. Obama is different in the following sense. He's the first major African American candidate that is not running as a cause candidate. If you look back at Jesse Jackson, even the soft-spoken Shirley Chisholm, the more recent, what's his name from New York, wonderful speaker that was a candidate, all of them were perceived as cause candidates, civil rights candidates, and therefore they even only took...
Not Al Sharpton. You don't mean Al Sharpton, do you?
Al Sharpton.
Al Sharpton. he's fun to listen
even
to.
Even Al Sharpton, but even Jesse Jackson, even Shirley Chisholm, as prominent as they were still perceived as civil rights cause candidates. This man will not be. He's going to be seen as a serious contender from the first day, and he speaks to moderates, conservatives, and liberals. He speaks carefully.
He does. He really has got magic, and you just like him.
Yeah.
You just like him. John,
yeah.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your analysis. It's excellent.
This is a great topic for me, and I think language, by the way, to tie it into this, is one of the reasons that Barack Obama will win. He's a master at it.
He is. He absolutely is. Thank you so much for calling. Well, you know, when they asked him, did you inhale, he said that was the whole point. It was a great comeback. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. We have some traffic going on. Southbound 99, southbound I-5 just south of Sutterville Road, and eastbound 50 just west of Bradshaw Road. Otherwise, looking clear at 624. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
According to Enid, we'll set you free.
Really?
Call her now at 349-1320.
Oh, hi. How are you?
How would you like to cut... Play perfectly.
I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly.
Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA four-diamond casino resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cache Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit CacheCreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
Cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Come.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes.
At the truth, AM 1320.
Listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live, 3 to 7 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We're looking for Kwanzaa and Hanukkah music, too. Isn't the music wonderful? Thank you, Lisa West, for that. 349-1320, 866-620-6320. Ken in Orangevale. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Enid. How's it going?
Good.
Well, I think Barack Obama, absolutely. The problem with Hillary is really, if you get down to it, it's beginning to look a bit like a dynastic system. Clinton, Bush, Clinton, Bush. I think the country's so polarized right now that the idea of going back to a familiar name like that that is associated with polarization is going to turn everybody off. If Barack ends up taking the nomination and he hooks up with John Edwards, who's got the populist movement going on right now with his concept of two Americas, I think they're untouchable.
Give me this again. Who do you think is untouchable? John Edwards?
John Edwards, yes.
And whom?
Barack Obama.
And who's the president? Who's on top? John Edwards?
I would say it would be Barack, to be perfectly honest with you.
And John Edwards as the vice president?
Absolutely. That's really how I see it shaking out. Because, again, with John Edwards' idea of the two Americas, you know, the rich and the poor and nothing.
I'm going to tell you what really worked in this last election was populism. Anybody
absolutely.
Who painted themselves as a populist did very well.
And if you can back it up, and he's a lawyer who's worked
and came from a very poor family.
Right, consumer rights. Exactly. That's really going to appeal. When it comes to language, I don't know if I'm so much worried about the slang and the level of slang in language. It's the fact that it seems like nobody allows you to finish a sentence in a conversation any longer.
Well, I'm certainly guilty of that most of the time, but we have time constraints, and I have no attention span to speak of either. And neither do any of you listening, but go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, when you're having a conversation with somebody or somebody wants a piece of information, instead of giving it to them in an articulate, in kind of a nice way, it's they want it now, and that's it, and walk away. There's no personality.
Well, because everybody, I'm going to tell you what that's all about, because I think we're all guilty of it. I'm guilty of it, too, a lot. We're squeezed for time. We are very time-strapped, but there is something that I want to add to it, and there's an elegance in the language. As a writer, I appreciate when it's succinct. There's an elegance in being succinct, and sometimes I think it was Abraham Lincoln who said this, because I don't have much time, I'll write you a long letter instead of a short one. And what he meant by that is when you're not, it takes a while to condense it down, and when you don't have much time, you know, you just wander and you meander, and it's longer, but when you've had a time to think about it, you can condense it. It could be a more elegant presentation in a more elegant conversation.
That's great. I had never thought of it.
Yeah, isn't that? So, yeah. Ken, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320, 866-620-6320. Jim in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jim.
Hey, thanks for being there, and I love your show.
Thank you.
I have a question, but first I'm just going to jump on the Barack Obama bandwagon. I think he's just an excellent speaker, and he has leadership quality. If you want to be president, you want to vote for a leader. He has that 60s appeal, just an homage, kind of throwback, and he just makes people want to follow him. He's intelligent. He writes his own speeches. I think he's just a great candidate.
I think, and here's what's interesting about him. He appears handsome, even if you look at his face, and he's not all that handsome. He's not a particularly handsome man, but there's something that makes you think he's really good looking. There's just a magic that he's got. I really like him.
Yeah, he's confident, attractive, like Clinton, and that's the question I have.
Well, there's a confidence, there's an ease, there's the way he speaks. There's just something about him. It's magic.
Yeah, you want to follow that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a question about Clinton. Before he became president, before he was running, nationally, did anyone know who Clinton was?
No, not many people.
Yeah. And then,
Barack Obama walks in with a greater advantage in that department than Clinton did. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Right. So, people talking about, Barack, he's not experienced or he's going to get beat up. Well, you know what? Clinton came out of nowhere.
Jim, I thank you. I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Marjorie in SAC. Hi. You're live with Enid. Hi, Marjorie.
Politics and grammar. Oh, I love it. Anyway, I'll just give you some quick takes that I have on, for one thing, Hillary. I think that the Republicans want her to be the candidate. And I think this was proven when she appeared with Newt Gingrich and Rupert Murdoch, for God's sake. They think they can beat her. And Barack Obama, John Edwards, either way, like them both. And I do think Barack Obama is a different kind of person, black or white. He's just, he's charismatic, and he really, really has strength. And it's not something that's a repellent strength in any way. It's you want to just be with him. And anyway, I'm with that. And as far as the Republicans go, John McCain, he probably will be, and they're talking about having Jeb Bush to be the vice president. Hey, John McCain had better hope he lives through his term.
I refer you to the poisoning case in London. Polonium 210 in a sushi bar. Yeah.
Grammar. The thing that just kills me, and it has for years, and sometimes very articulate people otherwise say this. They'll say, well, I wanted to do something for you and I. Oh, that sort of thing. And I think, just separate them, children. I want to do something for you. I want to do something for me. Would you say I want to do something for I? No.
But people think that if they say I, it's tonier. It's incorrect, but it's tonier.
Well, they also say, do it.
My wife or my husband and, my husband and I want to go. No, that's correct.
That's correct.
But they want to give it to my husband and people say, they want to give this to my husband and I. It's they want to give it to my husband and me. Take the husband out. They want to give it to me. And then you know which is correct.
You just separate them.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Risha. I love it.
Thank you. Free grammar right here. A nickel. Thanks, Marjorie. 349, I like Lucy and peanuts. Free advice, a nickel for 5 cents. Rashid, or is it right? Am I saying it correctly? Calling from Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi. Is it Rashid?
Yes. I wanted to comment on a gentleman before.
Yes.
When he made comments about Obama and Edwards.
Yes.
I definitely think it's a very strong ticket. No matter what, I still want John Edwards to be somewhere there, either as a presidential candidate or as a vice presidential candidate.
Well, you may get your wish. And you don't see Hillary in the equation at all.
Right. And
you don't or you do? Is Hillary not in the equation at all?
Not really, but because I just thought that would be a great one. And if I also want to comment on McCain, I think McCain has totally two-faced. And I had a lot of respect for him, but I've lost that completely.
Well, you know, if the right wing is going to hammer Obama on his lack of foreign policy experience, I think the Democrats can hammer McCain on his. He's very right wing on a lot of issues. He's very nice. We respect his service to the country and the fact that he was imprisoned and it has taken a real toll on his life. But he's very right wing in a lot of ways, and I think the Democrats can really hammer him on it. Rashid, I thank you for the call. 349-1320. 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and we're talking grammar, and we're talking politics, and more grammar as we continue. Useless phrases, dulling our reason and dimming our insights, and I'll share what some of those are. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time to check traffic and weather together with Lisa West.
Well, thank you, Enid Goldstein. I really ain't got no much traffic to talk to you about today, but I'm sorry, I don't understand. Hemlock Street at Madison Avenue, there is a vehicle on the right-hand side, and I was going to talk to you about something else, but I forgot. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320.
Enid Goldstein, a sign of intelligent life in the political universe. On AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Jamba Juice. No, Arden Fair.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
a sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes region, for folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the west, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, or a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's terror. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now... I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
Cartman can't seem to remember the words to Oh Holy Night. I'm going to give one of you children this cattle prod, and if Eric forgets any words, just shock him a little, okay? Here you go, Kyle. Why don't you take it?
Sweet!
Okay, Eric, whenever you're ready.
What was that for? I didn't screw up.
No, Kyle, you can't shock him unless he forgets the words.
It's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live, 3 to 7 on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. You know, you could be part of a pop quiz, and we could ask you, what are you listening to? Do you know that it's AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel? Well, you should know that. We're talking about politics, and we're talking about politics stemming from Arianna Huffington's column today in the Los Angeles Times, an op-ed piece, where she doesn't think Hillary's electable, where she thinks Hillary is vain, and by that she means a weather vane, following her consultants. And a lot of the big money, she says, is going for Barack Obama. Some of you have said you don't believe that America is ready yet to elect a black or a female president. But I think Barack Obama is very electable, more so than Hillary, even though she has the higher approval numbers. She also has high negatives, and she's got more money than he does at the moment. But there are a lot of rich people who want Barack to go for it. 349-1320. And we're talking about language. And we're talking about whether or not there's a correlation between the laxness of your language and the laxness of your thinking. There is a journal called the Vocabulary Review. And it has different, it's got different departments in this journal. One of them is called Jose, it's the teaching of English to immigrants, and that section is called Jose, Can You See? One of the mottos of the publication is a society is generally as lax as its language. Is that true? And because I know those of you who listen to talk radio are readers, we love the printed word. We love good writing. We love good thinking. So here's what else the people who run this journal believe: that expressions, that there's a whole list of expressions that dull our reason and dim our insights. And these include whatever. Well, you know, if you say it ironically, yes. But if that's all you can muster over a protracted period of time, that's another story. You had to be there. That's another one. These are phrases that are used by people who have lost their powers of description, or ineffectual phrases like the fact remains, you know, it's just a lot of blather, the fact remains, or the thing about it is, I'm sure I'm guilty of all of these things, or it is important to realize. And I remember listening to somebody in the Bay Area who banned the use of the word basically, because it doesn't add anything to a sentence. Basically, it's just a place to stop until you gather your thoughts. Well, basically, well, the thing is, infantile phrases like humongous, everything's relative, gazillions, which show evidence of uninformed reasoning. The editor also believes that there are moribund metaphors like window of opportunity and insipid similes, cool as a cucumber. Oh, nobody says that anymore. Suspect superlatives and amazing person, which could mean almost anything, actually. Or the best and brightest, which are just what the category suggests. Torpid terms like prioritize, proactive, significant other. You know what? And I hate the impact as a verb. I hate it. I mean, everybody's using it, but I hate it. But there is no there are. There are many. There's many. Everything is there, apostrophe S. 349-1320. You know, the language police, we want to hear from you. And 349-13, your phrases that you hate the most, that people, duh, that's another one. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Sandra, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Sandra.
Is this Enid?
It is.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, I agree with you about the language, and I will absolutely hurl if I hear "step up to the plate" or "at the end of the day" one more time. I can't. I just can't.
Well, you know what? This has come into currency that I wasn't aware of, and suddenly you hear it all the time. In the day. That happened in the day. It didn't happen 10 years ago. Back in the day, what day was that? Wednesday? Tuesday?
Used to be.
Everybody uses that now. And suddenly it's one of those things that everybody's using all the time. And it's just...
Can you stand it?
Yeah. Can
I? But anyway, I wanted to say about Hillary. Hillary, we've got to stop saying she's not electable, Enid. You are in a position to influence here. She is electable. And we as Democrats have a responsibility to start saying she is eminently electable. We need to donate to her campaign. Her husband and she won a campaign already. We know they can win. They're smart. They have
She would be a good president. I don't have any doubt. Yes. I hope she would be a good president.
Can we stop saying she's not electable and she can't win? Can we stop that?
Well, you're asking me to not say what I believe. And the whole premise of this program is that I tell you what I believe. You may not like hearing it.
I'm just trying to influence you.
Okay.
I think Bahamas. I think I think he's a handsome, striking, intelligent man, but my feeling is that he hasn't like hit the road on a campaign the way Hillary has and the way Bill has, and what a team they are. So I just disagree with you, that's all. I would like to hear more Democrats saying she can win. She's a great politician and she's a brilliant woman.
Well, she may turn it around. She may, you know, she may strike light fire, light people, and make people fall in love with her.
I think part of
fire up their hearts.
We love her. You know, we love her. We think she can run the country. She can, you know, if we say that, I think she becomes more desirable. But if you don't agree with that, you know, but I think the power of suggestion is great. And I'd love to see her on the ticket with one of the striking men that you've talked about tonight. But I'd like to see her on the head of the ticket, and I think she can win. And Bill will be at her side pushing her through.
Sandra, thank you for the call. 349-1320. Kim in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
Good. Or well. Thank you. Huh?
I said I had a couple of thoughts on language.
Please.
Well, I'm a classroom teacher, so as you can imagine, I hear from my students all the sort of worst slang imaginable, but, you know, that's for them, and there's a situation to use correct English, and, you know.
Absolutely.
There's a situation for informal English.
Yes, absolutely.
But I have to tell you, if I hear disconnect as a noun or conference as a verb, one more time.
You're going to throw up.
Oh yeah,
you're gonna eat your liver. Yes.
The other one you use as a verb is transition, but at least there's not, you know, a verb for that. With disconnect, there's disconnection, and with conference, there's confer, and people don't seem to reach for those as often as they should.
What grade are you teaching, Tim?
Right now, I'm teaching high school.
You're teaching high school.
This is what I hear from my colleagues.
Does anybody listen to you about these matters in high school? Any of your students, actually?
I think my students get the importance of formal English for formal situations.
Because I'm going to tell you what is being reported now is that kids and from good schools and good families, I think probably from the really good schools and the really good families already know how to do this, but a lot of middle-class kids absolutely don't know anything about etiquette, so that when they're in a situation where they're being interviewed, say lunch, a lunch meeting, a lunch interview, they're at a loss. And so all these companies are springing up to teach them which fork to use. And there was a great story about a kid who was on an interview, a college graduate, and it was a Chinese restaurant he was having lunch with the guy who was interviewing him. And he ate the fortune cookie, and he ate the fortune, and he pulled the fortune out of his mouth.
Oh, goodness.
I'm sorry to say he didn't get the job.
Well, that's one way to screen your applicants, isn't
it? Yeah, it really is. Kim, thanks very much for the call. 349-1320, 866 2613 20, Donald in Elk Grove. Hi. You're live with Enid. Hi, Donald.
I hate to say it, but she's not electable. And I think history backs me up. If we look at who got to vote first in this country, if we had an African-American male or a woman being allowed to vote first, we got to go with African-American male. And I think the same thing will probably apply to who we elect president first.
Is she electable? Is Hillary electable as a vice president?
I think, well, the problem is if you run a Obama-Hillary ticket, which would sound very interesting, I think you just have a large section of the Midwest and the South that you are just going to completely annihilate as possibly voting for them. And unfortunately, the way the Electoral College is set up, no amount of people coming out in the populist states would be able to disrupt what I fear is the prejudice and bigotry of that time in that area.
Donald, thank you very much for weighing in. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Slow-moving traffic, southbound 99, right by Fruit Ridge Road. Looks like we've got a little bit of jam, Elk Grove, Florin Road, and Bridal Smith Drive. And a vehicle we've got on fire westbound I-80 just east of Antelope Road. Tonight, lows 33, highs coming up tomorrow, 61. And Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
It's talk radio for the left of us. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
When my son started having...
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live, we've been talking about language, we've been talking about politics, and the thought of the editor of this language journal is that without careful language, that there can be no clear thought. Is he right about that? We'll talk about that more. And also, one of the things that we, 349-1320-866-2613-20, but let me just say it again, without careful language, there can be no clear thought. And he also believes that bad language is viral. It's in the atmosphere, and we all pick it up, and that is true. But he may be right about that. Today is, of course, December the 7th, the day that will live in infamy, a day that has particular significance to people who, to San Franciscans, because Pearl Harbor felt very close, closer than other places.